following is a KVON Sports presentation. It's high school football from Memorial Stadium in Napa, California. Saturday night football, MEL style. The Vintage Crushers of Napa are hosting the Armio Indians of Fairfield. It's high school football. Good evening, everyone, and welcome in to Memorial Stadium in Napa, California. I'm Ira C. Smith, joined tonight by Kent Fry, Jacob Grant, and Dino Alessio in our booth, and Charles Kennedy as our engineer. Our broadcast of local high school football is sent your way with the good wishes of our Napa Valley sports boosters. Those are the folks we'll be hearing from as we progress through tonight's varsity action. The Vintage Crushers come in with a 5-1 record. The Armio Indians with a 3-3 record as we get down now to the closing weeks of the season. And Kent Fry, it has gone by very fast when you take out a few of the games due to wildfires and other things.
Ira, what a couple of crazy weeks this has been. This morning on the Sports Vine, we were talking with Cam Neal, just the scheduling, redoing of everything, and just, you know, how the coaches are meeting and the leagues and commissioners are meeting, how to figure this whole thing out. And it's great to be back here with, you know, a little reprieve, Ira, if you will. That now we got some football, we can take our minds off the other tragic events that have taken place. And it's great to see the kids on the field. And It's going to be a struggle for both teams. You know, there's very limited practices and practicing away from home due to the smoke. And how are they going to proceed? How are they going to get back to where they were before? So it's a big challenge for both coaches, but it's fun to see. And what a great game. And, of course, Napa over at Vacaville tonight, Ira. It's
yeah, we'll keep you posted on those scores.
Wow.
Well, anyway, the JV game is winding down with a minute and a half to go. Vintage has the football at the Armio 40-yard line, and they have Vintage leading 13-8 as the Armio Indians trying to get the ball back. Vintage with possession of the ball at the 40, facing a third down and about 8 yards to go for a first down. If they don't get a first down on this, it's conceivable that they will kick and Armio would get possession of the ball. Armio has just one timeout remaining. So that's just a little bit of information regarding the JV game that is just about over. Vintage is going to try, but there is a flag on the play just as Vintage was ready to snap the ball. And this is the JV contest, and it's actually the second game. There was a false start against Vintage, so that'll move the ball back another 5 yards. In the freshman game, the Vintage freshman improved to 8-0 as they defeated the Will C. Wood freshman 36-20. The Vintage freshman will try to make it a perfect season on Thursday night when they go against the Napa freshman. And we'll be on the air at 5:30 from here at Memorial Stadium then on Thursday night with that football game. And we'll find out what the Crushers do here, the young Crushers, the JVs, have a tight formation, high backfield, and the handoff goes to the a fake handoff. The quarterback rolls out, running with the ball. He's hit at the 50, and he is dropped there as they get the sack at the 49-yard line of the Armio Indians. Clock continuing to move now, down to 30 seconds to go. The Crushers look at a fourth down. Armio, wanting to hold the Crushers, will have to have one more snap of the football.
I don't think they will. I think the clock's going to run out, Ira.
Yeah, according to the scoreboard, Armio has a timeout left, but they haven't called it, so maybe the scoreboard is not correct there, Dino. I'm not quite sure.
Well, the Crushers are not even showing any sign of coming up to the line of scrimmage. There was a delay of game called against the Crushers. So it'll cost them 5 yards. So they will have to take a snap. They could not run the clock all the way out. That takes the ball back into Vintage territory now at the 46-yard line.
So the referee waved off the delay of game. Vintage evidently called a timeout just as the play clock was expiring.
So it will not go down as a penalty. As the Crushers spend one of their two remaining timeouts, they have just one left, but It's fairly academic now with 4.4 seconds to go here in regulation as it's 13-8. The Vintage JVs in the lead, trying to make it a 4-1-1 record. You could combine that with an 8-0 record that the freshmen have and the varsity with a 5-1. And, Kent, that is very much of a successful program.
That's an excellent successful program, Ira, that your freshmen are undefeated, and JV's having a winning percentage, and the varsity at 5-1. Coach Dylan Leach has to be extremely pleased with all three levels. And what that means, Ira, is that the program that he wants to instill and has installed since last year is taking shape, and kids are buying into the program. And this is the start of a successful program, obviously under Coach Dylan Leach's realm.
Our sideline reporter, Jacob Grant, is a student out at Napa Valley College and, of course, not had classes.
No, I've had no classes and no football on Friday night, so it's kind of been a boring week.
We'll hear more about the situation at Napa Valley College in a moment. The Crushers come up to the line as with fourth down, they are hiking the ball, and the quarterback tries to run out, and he is sacked again with still time remaining on the clock. 1.7 seconds to go, and on downs, Armio will get the ball and will have a chance for one last play, barring a penalty.
I think Armio better hustle here because I think the referee may wind the clock here now that the ball is set.
Looks like we'll be able to run one play.
Yeah. So Armio will be getting the ball at the 43-yard line of Vintage. Crusher's taking a couple sacks there as they were trying to run out the clock. Armio has a quarterback on the JV team that can really throw the ball.
And Ira, you just want your DBs and linebackers. You want your linebackers drop back about 15 yards, and they're only at 4 yards. And you want your DBs back about 20, and they're only about 10. So the thing with Armio, they have a lot of speed. Here, Coach Shue has called a timeout here.
So the Crushers spend their final timeout with 1.7 seconds to go. And let's go back to Jacob Grant now to find out about what is happening at the college, as I know it was a shelter for a lot of people.
So I haven't been back because of the classes being canceled, but they reopen on Monday, and then our finals week will just be rescheduled, and it'll become a normal week of classes that we'll just take our finals in during that time.
Okay, so finals are, what, this coming week?
No, in December. They're just rescheduling it so we have time.
Do they have finals on how to dress, Jake? That's what I want to know.
No, they do not ban New York Islander stuff at the school. That is not considered offensive.
Jake's a big Islander fan, and I, for our listeners, wearing his Islander jackets, who are playing our beloved Sharks right at the moment.
Yeah, even though we're in the football season, we're also in the hockey season. We've got some hockey fans here with us in our broadcast booth. So we're ready now to see what Armio is going to come up with here. This will be the final play of the JV game. They have an empty backfield with a trip set left side and two wideouts on the right side. And the quarterback is checking with the referee as he checks now off to his left, which is where the trip set is. Has the other back set, split out wide right side. The official is set to blow the whistle. There it is. And here we go for the final play. As he takes the snap, looks over, he's going to run with the ball. The quarterback cuts in. He's at the 40. He's hit there, and he's dropped at the 38, and that will end it. So the JVs hold on for a 13-8 win over the Armio JVs as that is the second game that has been completed here at Memorial Stadium tonight. And the good thing, Kent, is out there today. The air is good.
Yes, the air quality is very good. Nice. It's back to football weather, Ira. Nice fall, crisp night. And jackets are on. With people in the stands have their jackets on already. I know I have my sweatshirt on and brought my jacket as well because it's going to be a cold, crisp night. And definitely good football weather.
We'll be back and get set for the varsity action in a moment. The Vintage Crushers against the Armio Indians in MEL football. Well, here at Memorial Stadium, we're getting ready for football action, something that we haven't had for a couple of weeks.
I tell you, we haven't. And, you know, what an exciting ball game we just finished. I read 13-8 vintage over Army on the JV final. And, I have an update on the JV game going over at Vacaville.
Okay.
Vacaville 33, Napa 30 with 6 minutes left in that ball game on the JV level. So, Napa playing Vacaville over there, a big, big game. Going on over there, and so the JVs are starting it off right over there with the nail biter.
Yeah, and the same should be true for the varsity action. So we'll keep you posted, you Napa fans, unable to get over to Vacaville. We will keep you posted on updates as we broadcast the Vintage and Armio contest. There was a game last night involving Napa County School. American Canyon went into Vallejo at Corvus Field and defeated Jesse Bethel. 41-12 was the final. The Wolves improved to 4-3. They're 2-0 in the Solano County Athletic Conference. They got a slow start this year, Kent.
They did. American Canyon came out slow, but Coach Singer has them turned around and going, and they're back up to where they were last year. Showing their speed and consistent level of play. Early in the year, they just weren't consistent in their execution of plays, and I know Coach Singer was really working on that, going back to basics, as he said, and he has them marching right where they need to be.
One of the teams that will be in the MEL next year, taking the place of Napa and Vintage, will be Vanden. And last night they played against Benicia. You usually think of the Benicia Panthers as being very strong in athletics. Vanden, 52-7 winner last night over Benicia.
Well, Vanden's got all that speed, Ira. There's just no doubt about it. Every year they have tons and tons of speed, and speed is hard to contain and hard to combat, if you will. You just have to keep those guys inside the perimeters and do your best.
So with the exodus of Napa and Vintage from the MEL, Vanden will come in, and so will Fairfield High School. Fairfield used to be in, so they'll join Rodriguez and Armio from that area, along with we'll see Wood and Vacaville. MEL next year will be a six-team league, but without Napa and Vintage.
Nope. It's going to be different, won't it? With the Fairfield schools and the Vacaville schools, it'll be a lot different. I imagine we'll see those schools, though, Ira, in non-league action.
I want to mention, too, that the league that Napa and Vintage will be going into will also have American Canyon in the league. And from right here in Napa, Justin Sienna will be in the league. Sonoma Valley High School will be in the new league, as will Petaluma High School. And Casa Grande, the Gauchos from Petaluma. It'll be a seven-team league. That means each week there will be one team in the final 7 or 6 weeks of the season that will have a bye. It'll be the final 7 weeks of the season. One team will have a bye each week as far as league play. There'll be league play. They'll have a bye. But anyway, let's check with Dino Alessio, our statistician. Good to have him back as he's been traveling all around.
Yeah, I spent a week in Southern California. This is the first time in my life I've ever gone to Southern California for the fresh air. But the air quality was actually quite nice down there. I had a great time, did a lot of sightseeing. And boy, are my feet tired, because I did a lot of walking for the last 5 or 6 days. But I'm looking forward to this game immensely. It should be a great game, and it'll be great to sort of get back to a sense of normalcy after a really tough couple of weeks. It'll be good to, and I'm hopeful that we'll have a pretty good crowd out here tonight. I'm hoping that the fans will, try and use this as a chance to get back to sort of a normal goings on.
And wonder what high school and college students are doing over the time. Well, we can find out, at least from the collegiate standpoint. What have the college students been doing with 2 weeks off?
Well, for the first week after the fires, I did what everybody else did. You pack up your truck or your car with everything you need in case you need to evacuate. And, you go buy a generator so you can run your refrigerator, listen to the radio, and get the news from Ira over here. And, just hang out and just wait.
Okay, well, hopefully we're past that. We're in the recovery stage now, and things are moving along nicely for those that are fortunate to still have their homes. And the ones that were burned out, what a sad scenario that is. But hopefully they will be able to rebound as well.
You know, you're absolutely right, Ira. And, you know, everybody in this community knows of somebody who's lost their home. And Napa is such a small, tight-knit community. And, of course, Sonoma and Glen Ellyn and Santa Rosa, my goodness. And it's great, though, to see these communities, and that's what it is. It's communities pulling together and supporting each other, and they will get through it. There's no doubt about it.
Let's look at a recent game in the MEL. There was only one game, I think, last week, and that was Will C. Wood against Rodriguez. And Wood won that contest. 42-7 was the final in that. So the standings with a 2-0 record, Will C. Wood on top. And then 1-1 records for Vintage and Vacaville. And then 0-1 are Army O and Napa High. And with an 0-2 record is Rodriguez. And Rodriguez, I guess it was supposed to play against Napa High last week, which would have been homecoming for Napa. So that'll be next Friday night, the Napa Indians homecoming against the Army O Indians. That'll be the powwow here with homecoming for Napa High. And we have this third game of the night about to get underway. Last year, Vintage won the game over in Fairfield against Army O, 21-0. And the last game for Vintage was against Rodriguez, and Vintage won that one 48-0. Army O with its one loss to Vacaville, 51-6 was the final. So we know that the Bulldogs, again, or still are powerful
every year, and that, you know, that's why it's a key game tonight, not only here but over there at Vacaville tonight. Napa needs to take on the Bulldogs tonight and beat them, Myra, to stay in contention. There's just no doubt about it. And you know, the title of the MEL always goes through, has been, either Napa High or Vacaville Bulldogs. And now that Vintage is in the mix, it makes it interesting couple weeks that we're going to have here for Final Fives football.
We've been watching the kickers warm up. And Vintage has two excellent kickers. The one they use for kickoffs and all that has a little more distance but does not have quite the height to his kicks is Abdil Balinas. And he is used for distance. And the extra point guy is Eddie Gonzalez. He is very accurate in close and has more height, more rise to his kicks.
And also, you know, what's real important, not only those kicks on the extra points, is getting the snap back there. You know, I think Vintage has had a little problems with getting the snap back there in a timely manner. You know, the holds have been good, but you got to get that snap back there and then down and then make it's quite an execution to make all three things happen.
Well, the kicker for the Army O Indians tonight, check that out, has come up from their JV team. He is a sophomore, and his name is Juan Calderon. So the interesting is we follow a youngster in there. Well, they're all youngsters in one sense, but he being just a sophomore, perhaps most of them are junior and seniors on the team. But he does all their kicking, they told me, punting, the extra points, the kickoffs. And just a sophomore. We'll probably see a couple guys at quarterback tonight from Anthony Gonzalez's team. Anthony, in his first year as the head coach, was the JV coach last year, but took over from David Castillo this year as the head coach and has done a real fine job. But he will be using Tariq Eid, who is a 6'1 senior. And Ron Regalado. Regalado is 6'1 and a junior. So the similar in size. They both weigh about around 180 in that general area. So they're quite similar in stature. And we'll probably be seeing both of them.
Well, you know, a 1-2 punch. And we saw Vintage start out the season with a 1-2 punch.
Yep.
And still see it every now and then. But, you know, with Isaiah Garcia pulling the trigger now at quarterback and James Robert, that's the 1-2 punch from the quarterback running back position.
But, you know, we saw Ernie Seahow, I think it was there, that filled in at quarterback and did a really good job, I thought.
Absolutely he did, and he read the option fairly well, too. Mm-hmm.
So that is a possibility. We'll see if we can get an update on that JV game from Vacaville. The Vintage JVs were victorious, 13-8. The Vintage freshmen were victorious, 36-20. And we'll be back in a moment and check on what's happening at Tom Zanino Stadium in Vacaville after this timeout. Back here at Memorial Stadium, hearing from Mark Coleman makes us realize how fortunate we were if we don't lose our home, as his place was out there in Silverado, and it was saved.
It was. You know, I talked to Marcus, and he stayed there and helped, like many other homeowners, help fight the fires and save his home and his neighbor's homes and so forth. And a lot of people, Ira, that I grew up with out there, and some of them lost their homes, and others were fortunate not to lose their home. What? I just can't get over this last couple of weeks. That was something, those 8 days, unbelievable.
Absolutely. Well, let's find out a little more about tonight's football game. We checked, and there's no change in the score over at Vacaville. And just updating you as far as the JV game.
Just in now, funny you said that, Ira, just in a final score from Vacaville in that JV game. Vacaville 40, Napa 30. That's a final. Vacaville JV's victorious over the Napa Indians in Vacaville, 40-30.
That is a final on that. Let's find out more about the Armio Indians now. The purple, gold, and white, their school colors, and Anthony Gonzalez in his first year as the head football coach.
Well, Anthony, first of all, congratulations on putting together a good program. It's good to see Armio picking up wins this season.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate that. The boys have worked hard.
Tell us a bit about the program. You were with the JVs, but what is some more of your background?
Well, my background is, like I said, I was with the JV last year. I've just been coaching over in the Fairfield, Vacaville area for the last about 20 years. A lot of it had to do with basketball. A lot of my football experience comes from playing a little bit, as well as officiating.
Well, tell us a bit about this year's team. How has it improved over past Indian squad?
Well, I think one of the things that's a big improvement is our coaching staff. We have Mark Lane as the offensive coordinator, Don Mosley's our defensive coordinator, and they really just relate great with the kids. We're teaching fundamentals. You know, it's all about technique. It's all about doing the little things right and consistently. We try to get a lot of reps in, and Coach Powell's done a great job with the special teams also.
You've been able to avoid many injuries this season?
We have been able to do that, Ira. As you know, you can tell by our roster, we're not real, real deep. So it's been important for the kids to stay healthy. You know, we've kind of taken that approach where we don't do a whole bunch of tackling, if you will, at practice. We play to the thud. We hit. We do those things. But the rolling and twisting with people, we really try to avoid that Monday through Thursday.
As you know, this area was affected by the wildfires that were close to here. What about in your area? I know Solano County had some alerts out, but did you have a ball game last week?
We did not have a ball game. As a matter of fact, I was a little concerned. Once again, you just mentioned the health and safety of the kids. I was a little concerned because we went, I think, close to 13 days with only one practice. We had the air quality thing. Fairfield Sassoon Unified School District canceled all athletic activities as well as school. Obviously, we weren't impacted as much as everybody out here in Napa Valley, and our hearts and prayers go out for everybody, and, you know, praying for a good recovery with everybody. I mean, I can't even fathom the things that have gone on. So it's a pleasure to be out here this week and playing some ball.
Well, Anthony, you've done a good job, so congratulations on what you put together.
Thank you, Ira. I really appreciate it.
And those the comments from the head coach for the Armio Indians. Anthony Gonzalez, we mentioned earlier, taking over from David Castillo, who had been the head coach there. Let's find out a little bit about Vintage for tonight as we had the opportunity to chat with second-year head coach Dylan Leach.
Well, Coach, coming into this game, how can you get the players up after all you've gone through?
Yeah, I think this is probably the right formula, right? So they need football and they want football. So I don't think I'll have to do anything special to get them excited to go play a football game.
Did any of your player families or your coaches have problems with the fire?
Yeah, I know Coach Sizemore on the freshman staff lost not only his home, but he lost his rental homes. Other than that, I mean, I think we had a lot of close calls. James Roberts up in Green Valley, right up to his door. Luis Arroyo on Yonville Crossroad up in on the hill there. Same thing. I think he got his garage, but didn't get his house. So a lot of people real close, but I think we pulled through relatively unscathed.
Have you been able to have practices during this period?
We just started practices 2 days ago on Wednesday over in Benicia. So wanted to give a shout out to Benicia for allowing us to use their facilities and field for the last 2 days, and we bust over there. So we had two practices and a walkthrough.
How is the team doing compared to the injuries?
I think injury-wise, we've been pretty healthy the whole year. So let's knock on wood on that, right? I mean, because that can always change the season. So I think at this point we're doing pretty well. And like I said, it's just hopefully we can keep that going.
Your quarterback, Isaiah Garcia, has taken a lot of pretty heavy hits. How's he holding up?
Yeah, he's fine. He's a tough kid. I mean, but then again, I mean, I've been instructing him for 2 years not to take those hits, but for whatever reason, he kind of seeks them out himself. So, but he's fine. He's a tough kid, and we expect a lot out of him.
The game you're missing is the one when you were going to be at Vacaville. What have you heard as far as whether that will be made up or just canceled?
Well, I think everyone lost a game in league, so that'll be a cancellation. Just as in the other, all six teams lost a game, so we'll just go off a 9-game schedule and go from there.
What about your coaches and getting to practices and all? Do you have any problems getting them together?
Oh yeah, we had with the school cancellation and kind of the uncertainty, we were told we weren't going to be able to practice. So you had some coaches take their families away from the valley for a couple days to get away from the smoke, especially the ones with young kids. So we had some coaches not be able to show up, and then you're going to have a few kids that had some other obligations at that point, but. All in all, I think the majority of us were there and we're prepping hard for this game.
The overall program looks like a very successful freshman, JV, and varsity.
Yeah, we were talking about that the other day. I think we're sitting at 14-0-1 right now, or 14-1-1. And so, or no, sorry, 14-2-1. So, we're excited about that. And it's 1 year, but at the same time, we're trying to build a long-lasting program where all three levels can be successful year in, year out.
Good to see you're safe, and have a good game.
Yeah, you too, and thank you for all you guys did on the air those that whole week, but especially those first 3 days really kept the community together, and we appreciate you guys.
Those are the comments from the head football coach at Vintage High School, as we have Dylan Leach, the first former Crusher player, who has been their head coach. He's actually the eighth different coach that Vintage has had, and this is his second year after a 5-5 season last year, 3-2 in the league. So if they can get another victory, they will eclipse last year's total.
Absolutely, Aaron. And, I think tonight will be the night they're looking to get that victory. Vintage should be heavily favored. I shouldn't say heavily favored. Anything happened. Again, you've had, both schools where they could have limited practices and communications and so forth like that. So, again, I look forward, what's the execution level going to be like? Are they going to be sharp? Are they going to be crisp? Are all cylinders going to be running? This is what the coaches will be looking at and wondering about. And then, what time, the game plan is obviously in place. But it comes down to execution and Christmas.
We have a modified Vintage High School marching band here tonight. They are here, present in uniform, not the total numbers that we have seen in the past, and I don't see the timpani section that's usually down in front of us here, but the band did show up, and they're going to be presenting the national anthem very shortly.
Yeah, I think, Ira, just the ones that, were still here and could, they did show up, and that's the whole reason behind it.
Yeah. So we... commend the Brendan Galvin, the new band director, taking over from Bill Gant, who had served as the band director for some 30 years. And still, I understand that he's helping out behind the scene. Well, they've had the flip of the coin at the center of Memorial Stadium, so let's find out about that.
So the Crusher captains tonight were number 7, Isaiah Garcia, number 10, Ronnie Porter, number 28, James Robert, and number 74, Max Craig. The Crushers won the toss and deferred to the second half. Armio elected to receive the first half kickoff. Vintage will be kicking off, and they will be defending the south goal, Ira.
Okay, well, thank you for that information, and that'll be coming up here very shortly as the band maneuvers toward the center of the field. And as I have mentioned previously, that the microphones that we have and all are not able to pick up the band's performance as they start out with just a couple from the brass section, a couple trumpeters that'll come up and have the start of it. So we'll be back in just a moment with the opening kickoff. Well, we're about ready for the opening kickoff of tonight's game. Settle back, relax, and enjoy the game with us. If you're around the Memorial Stadium area, you still have a little bit of time to come over and see some exciting high school football. I'm Ira C. Smith, along with Kent Fry, Jacob Grant, and Dino Alessio, as we'll be describing the action on behalf of our Napa Valley Sports Boosters. The officials working tonight's game include the referee, Don Nelson, the umpire, Mark Fagan, the head linesman, Rodney Dixon, the line judge, Matt Reilly, and the back judge, A.C. Carver II, as they are getting set for the kickoff. The Vintage marching band heading toward that north end zone, and the Vintage Crushers will send their kickoff team out there. They'll be defending in this first series.
And Ira, I just, you know, I'm going back to your interview with Coach Leach. This is the perfect formula for the kids. They need a football game to play, and the community needs it. And so here we go, Ira. Get ready for some exciting football here Friday night.
On KVON 1440 Napa, California, and streaming on the Internet at KVON.com. Abdiel Bolinas teeing up the football at the 40-yard line. The Armio Indians getting set. One guy you want to watch there is number 7. He's back deep. His name is David Chavez. He is about a 5'11", 180-pound senior, but he's got some really good speed. He's the deep man back at about the 5-yard line. And one of the guys up a little bit in front of him has some speed also. And we'll get set now for the Crusher kick. And the coach on the far sideline as his team prepared to return this, and let's see if they do. As they take it and right at the goal line, and he steps back in the end zone, so it'll be brought out to the 20-yard line. So David Chavez did field the ball, but a good kick by Bolinas. Sent it back there and no return. So it'll be first and 10 now at the 20-yard line. Crushers come out on the defensive side of the football. The Armio Indians to our left, which is the north end of the field, heading toward the south end of the field as we're set for the first play from the line of scrimmage. There's one setback and double wideouts on either side, and the quarterback gets the ball and hands off left tackle, and they get across the 20, 25, still trying to keep the legs moving. They get to about the 26-yard line or thereabouts as that ball was carried by Demetrius Perry.
And I remember Demetrius Perry just did a good job keeping his legs moving, didn't he?
He
just
did.
Kept that pile moving.
He got about 2 or 3 extra yards at least from that. It's going to be a pickup of 7. Second down, 3 yards to go as they put a man in motion, and that's Chavez, and the whistle blows. The starting quarterback is Tariq Eid. But we'll also be seeing Regalado. And it's going to be a penalty right out here at the outset of the game. And it is, did you see the official signal? Looked like maybe in false start. So that'll cost them 5 yards. Ball goes back to the 22-yard line. It's going to be second down and 8 yards to go. The quarterback getting set. Eid has a single setback there with him, puts Perry in motion, and hands off. They go right up the middle. They try to advance through the center. The center and the left guard try to converge on Demetrius Perry, and he is stopped at about the 24-yard line. They have to get out to the 30-yard line for a first down. So this is a big third down play coming early in the contest.
Yeah, big Max Craig there leading the defensive front there on that front three of Vintage Crushers.
He's a senior, and they've got so many good underclassmen, too, to go along with Max.
Vintage has brought in their third down team, if you will, Ira.
Empty backfield now, yeah. So it's an empty backfield for the quarterback, and Ede puts a man in motion from the left side, and he keeps the ball, goes right up the middle, and he is hit there by Castillo, and Castillo brings him down shy of a first down by a couple yards.
Yep, just trying to spread the defense out, Ira, with that empty backfield, and just a designed quarterback keep, but we have a flag on the play.
They called a personal foul against the Crushers there.
Okay, well, that's going to negate that play that stopped the Indians shy of a first down. And on fourth down, they will go back and get the first down by virtue of the personal foul. And those are the unnecessary.
Drive a coach crazy right there, Ira. It's just absolutely mental fouls, mistakes, and unnecessary physical
from mistake. The 43-yard line, the quarterback is hit and dropped by Colton Fisher. Boy, that guy got in there so quick.
Yeah, Fisher from his defensive tackle position just chased him down. Great play by Fisher.
He is 6'4", 265 pounds, and no gain. They're spotting the ball back at the 43-yard line where it's going to be second down and 10 yards to go. We're just underway here at Memorial Stadium, inside of 10 minutes to go here in the first quarter. And what the Indians like to do is run with an empty backfield or a single setback. They have a single setback there with the quarterback, Ede. He passes out in the right flat, complete to King. King is hit as he tried to turn the corner and start downfield. And gets maybe a yard, got back to the line of scrimmage.
Michael Weber was there from the DB spot, fought off the receiver, and was able to turn that play back inside where the support of the Vintage defense was there to make the stop. Great play by Weber.
Bring up third down and 9 yards to go. The quarterback remains Tyreek Ede as he relates the play from the sideline to the players in the huddle. They'll send Jordan Smith out very wide to the left side. And they have a trip set right and an empty backfield. And the quarterback, he puts a man in motion. That's Edwards. He's back to pass. Passes to Edwards. Edwards catches it, drops the ball, and it's going to be ruled incomplete as they had Yami Shemko pick up the ball. But
another flag, Ira. They're going to call, I don't know if they're going to call targeting, or I'm not too sure what they're going to call here.
On targeting, they can take the player out if they happen to call that a personal foul, hitting the helmet.
Jesse Chaidez was the tackler there. The rule is, in fact, that that's just a good football player where both players going down at the same time. The intent was not there, but how do you explain whether it was intentional or not?
Well, in any case, it's a 15-yard penalty against the Crushers. So the Army O'Indians have gained 30 yards by virtue of two 15-yard penalties in the last two plays. That takes the ball into Crusher territory at the 41-yard line. Vintage making some shifts now on defense.
They're bringing their run defense back in.
They're going to have to hurry and get everybody off the field. They just made it. Handoff goes to Demetrius Perry. Perry lunges forward, gets across the 40, and dives to about the 36-yard line.
And here comes two more flags, Ira.
Oh,
this can be a long game if this keeps up.
Yes. Of course, that keeps the coaches pulling out their hair on these sidelines, too.
And I would say this is going to be someone saying something, your mother wears Army boots or something like that down there between players.
Well, the officials are still conferring. Don Nelson, the referee, getting his officiating crew to be coordinated. They tell the Army Indians, who are ready to come out of their offensive huddle, to hold on a little bit. 8.5 minutes to go in the first quarter, no score. But the Army O'Indians are advancing the football thanks to Crusher penalties on this drive. They've taken the ball into pressure territory. They're still discussing that last play. We'll check with our isolated eye and see what he saw.
You know, I'm not sure what the call was going to be here, and in fact, the officials are considering it at great length, which makes me think hopefully they will wave off the penalty. If they're not absolutely sure what they saw, it's probably not a good idea.
It is definitely after the play, Dino, and I think it's just two guys talking to each other.
Well, we'll find out now. Here comes the signal. Personal foul against an ejection. Oh. Wow. And a personal foul against Vintage, but not an ejection. So there were two personal fouls. So it would be offsetting penalties, but the player for Armio has been ejected from the game.
Now, I'm not too sure who that is.
We'll sure know when he comes out of the huddle, though, and has to run to the sideline here.
Yeah, the coach is going over to tell Anthony Gonzalez who he has to remove from his lineup there. And, in fact, Anthony Gonzalez has come out onto the football field, and he's discussing the matter with two officials, including the referee, as he wants to know more about the ruling. He does not have the depth on the sideline that Vintage has. Vintage has many more players suited up for the game than does Armio. Armio, though, has come into tonight's game with a 3-3 record. And last year they only won one game all season. They were 1-9 and 0-5 in league play.
I was wondering if maybe we could ask our intrepid sideline reporter, Jake, if he saw what happened down there.
Okay, we'll go down to the sidelines, see what Jacob Grant.
I didn't see what would happen, but I'll get you guys the number of the player who's ejected as soon as I can.
We'll be watching for that up here as well. What quite a conversation going on there with the two officials and Anthony Gonzalez, the coach. You know, he's a pretty big guy, the coach. I should have asked him where he played football, because I know he has played, and he's pretty good in basketball, I understand, too.
Sure. You know, this is taking longer than replay here. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. They're taking their time to explain to...
It's number three. That's what I thought. That's Perry, Demetrius Perry.
Oh, boy, he is their
That's their star running back right there.
Yeah. Yeah, that is the... If he is out for the game, is going to be hurting the attack for the Armio Indians.
I had a feeling that was Perry.
So we come back here to the 36-yard line. I thought we were ready, but the official has told the Armio Indians go back to their huddle again. As the referee now wants to come over and explain things to the Vintage sideline. They had a personal foul called against one of their players, but not an ejection. So we'll get the explanation now on the near side of the field to Dylan Leach.
So, Kent, would the fact that the Crusher player was not ejected, would that be an indication that perhaps the Armio player started the altercation?
I think so, and it probably what happened was, some type of physical contact after the play was over, and then, either the retaliation happened or started to happen. I'm not quite sure. But right now, Dino, the way the refs have been throwing the laundry flags, it's an indicator that they're looking for anything to throw on, and it's you don't need that right now.
Paul, this first series, I mean, we are at 8.5 minutes to go in the first quarter, and this first series has been made up of penalties.
Here we go, another call.
Showing same signal. And personal foul against each team. And no ejection for the Vintage player, though. But both of them...
So the penalties offset each other, but we had an ejection.
Yeah.
And then if the Vintage player in question were to pick up a second personal foul, I think, during the game, then he would be ejected.
Well, now we're ready to go. So here we come back to the line of scrimmage from the Vintage 36-yard line, the left side hash marks. An empty backfield there for the quarterback who drops back the pass. Getting right, fires down the middle, intercepted as the Crushers get the Shamkel interception to the 40 and 45. Shamkel to midfield, down the sideline to 40. Shamkel to the 30. He's got one man to beat. He goes to the 20, changes direction to the 10. He cuts in at the 5. He is across the goal line, touchdown Shamkel, but a flag. There is a flag after all of that excitement.
Shamkel went 75 yards on that return, but it's definitely coming back. There's a penalty against the Crushers, probably an illegal block on the return, Kent, do you think?
Yeah, that's what it looks like here, Dino, from this vantage point.
Well, I'll tell you, we've been seeing flags about every play.
You know, where the flag was thrown, I saw that block, Dino, and it was a very clean block. I'm telling you guys, with the officials, the stripes out tonight, the Zebras are, they're throwing the laundry very easily tonight.
They are the ones, and it's against Vintage, and they're taking the ball back into Crusher territory all the way back to the 38-yard line.
What a great run by Shamkel, wasn't it?
Oh, it was.
And great pressure on the quarterback.
Had that one man to beat, and he was able to just make the right moves to get beyond him.
And he was. He was patient, let his blockers come into play, made the moves.
Yep.
That all started with a blitz on the outside, Ira. They brought the outside backer from the far side of from us, put pressure on the Reed, and he was able, he underthrew it, and that's where Shamkel was to pick it off.
So the Crushers get the first play from the line of scrimmage, but they're going to take a timeout here with, boy, I'll tell you, this is such an unusual beginning to a football game.
Let's see, we've gone four
minutes. It's been an unusual 2-week period.
4 minutes, and it's been a half an hour at least.
Yeah.
We've already had 6 penalties called, and so Kent.
And Vintage hasn't had a play from scrimmage yet with 6 penalties.
Kent, do you think, is some of this due to a little rust from not having been able to practice much for the last couple of weeks?
Talking about the referees?
Dino, that was going to be my answer. I think the referees are a little rusty. I'm being real blunt here. I really do. Both teams are executing very well.
I should preface that by saying that Kent Fry played football at a very high level. He coached at a very high level, and he's broadcasting
at a high level.
There you go. And the Crushers are coming back to the line of scrimmage now as they're set. Isaiah Garcia rolls out to his right. He looks, he tipped, and he fires a lob pass, and it is caught! And he hold on to it as going up was Merrick Burnett, and he came down with the ball, and it's a completion down into Indian territory, a 24-yard pickup on the play to the 38-yard line of Army O.
And, Ira, you're absolutely correct. That was just a design rollout, and you just let Merrick Burnett run under it. And he was patient. Garcia was patient, setting him up, let the pattern develop, and then just lobbed it right in there.
And Burnett's about 6'2", so he had some good height. Have a wing right, and he goes into motion. And the quarterback hands off, and they go up the middle instead of, and they get into about the 30-yard line as he handed off to James Robert, and the guy that has carried so well, so much for the Crushers gets the ball to the 30, got about 8 yards on that carry.
What I like about Robert, he's tiny and he's stocky and he's sturdy, but he keeps his legs moving, and his head is on a swivel. He just sits there and bobs his head and looking for that hole right or left or left or right, and makes the appropriate cuts, and he's in there quick.
Isaiah Garcia, 5'10", senior quarterback, has come up under center. Wingman from the right going in motion. This time he will carry. Turns the corner at the 30, cuts in at the 20-yard line, and goes down to his number 22, Drew Hatfield. Picks up the first down and then some. So number 22 runs it to the number 22-yard line.
And that time, Ira, they just gave the Hatfield on that little jet sweep or fly sweep, whatever you want to call it. They run that motion all the time, and they either fake it to him or give it to him, and that time they gave it to him.
Yeah. So the Crushers show that they can move the ball. sending out wide right. Zach Gary, who's one of their fine receivers. Out to the left is Nolan Brown, and they go off of right tackle. And there's a flag on the play as Robert carries close to the 10, but the referee threw his flag, a hold against the Crushers. That'll cost them 10 yards. And, boy, I tell you, those officials are just really a big part of the game.
They are the game right now, and that shouldn't be.
Boy, you can get a hold probably on just about every play.
Absolutely, Ira, you really can. You know, you're looking for the blatant holds that, and this is called on the right side of the field, and the play was on the left side of the field. You know, just I don't know. I'm just.
Well, I tell you, we're still in the first quarter, and the penalties are really mounted up.
Yeah, we've already had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 penalties assessed in this game.
So a hold would be a 10-yard penalty against the Graciers, and that will take the ball. Well, it started at the 22-yard line, but they're marking it off, though, from inside the 20. It looked like where he was should come out to the 32-yard line. See where they put the ball. They haven't put it down. Well, it's going beyond the 32. Wow. Now, that was more than a hole. They took 15 yards and out to the now to the 20 yards they've gone now for that. Two holes, maybe. You don't accumulate the hole.
I tell you.
They took it at 20 yards on that from the 22 out to the 42. And, boy, I tell you, Dylan Leach said something with the official.
Yeah, and Dylan, Coach Leach is calling a timeout. Yeah, okay. He's bringing the team together here, Ira, and he's going to just let them have it as far as, you know, stay cool, keep your discipline. This is what the refs are doing. We can't help them out by doing idiot things.
You know, we've played less than half of the first quarter, and the Crushers have used two of their three timeouts already. And we're not even halfway through the first quarter yet. With all of the penalties and all, this is just going to be dragging out the time factor. But at least we can keep you posted on some Napa High scores. We'll see if anything has come in yet
And we do have an update with 10 minutes to go in the first quarter. Ira, Vacaville has jumped out to a 6-0 lead. Vacaville over Napa in 10 minutes to go in the first quarter.
I'll tell you, those Bulldogs are tough as they usually are. And you can't go by their record because they play such a tough pre-conference schedule. They take on the big guys in their pre-conference, as does Napa. Vinny's just getting up there, too, in that regard.
And, Ira, this is where Coach Leach burned a timeout, just to gather his kids around and just say, hey, let's just play the game. Don't worry about the refs. Play your game that you can play. Do not let these refs, don't let the other players, you know, whatever they're saying or doing, get in the way of the game. Play the game.
I still don't know how they got that ball out to the 42-yard line on a 10-yard penalty from the 22. Anyway, Isaiah Garcia rolls out to his right, sets, lobs one down the right side, and it is caught by Brown. Nolan Brown inside the 15. He's hit, and he's dropped it about the 12-yard line.
Boy, another beautiful lob pass, as you called it, Ira. There's a rainbow, if you will. Isaiah Garcia needs to put a little more umph on that ball because he's going to get some receivers hurt out there by the time the ball comes down.
We picked up 28 yards on that pass play. Nolan Brown, a 5'9 senior, getting that reception and taking the ball. This ball is back at the 13-yard line. Yeah, I thought he'd gone down at the 12, but it's spotted at the 13-yard line. They have one setback and a slot man. The slot man is going in motion. The quarterback on the option hands it off to Robert. Robert's inside the 10. He's still battling as he gets to the 5. Still going as he gets inside the 5 down to the 3-yard line and maybe lunges to about the 2-yard line.
What a tough kid he is. He just bobs and weaves his way down there, Ira. Keeps his head going, keeps his legs going. And he's hard to bring down. You'd think he'd be easy. He's just a tough nut to crack.
Let's quickly go down to the sideline now to get an update from Jacob Grant. Jacob, are you there?
Here.
Could you turn this way, Jacob? You got to. There you go. Well, we're play resumes now. Touchdown. As the Crushers look like they're very close to going across the goal line. No signal yet as far as Robert carried, and James Robert is stopped just shy of the goal line.
Okay. Look for
try,
him to get
try,
it.
Try it again there, Jacob.
I'm real down on the far end of the field, so it's probably a little hard to get connection.
Yeah, you have to turn this way, too. There you go. Okay. All right, so the Chrysler's look at second down, goal to go from inches away as they have a tight formation as Garcia brings him up. He has Robert right behind him, and Garcia keeps it, slides over right tackle and between the guard and gets into the end zone for the Chrysler touchdown. So Vinny scores first with 4:46 to go in a very unusual first quarter.
Unusual is right, Ira, but Vinny is, you know, they threw those two nice design rollout passes, made big gains on them, and, just Robert, feeding the ball to Robert, and there's your formula right there.
And here's Eddie Gonzalez, the junior, getting set to attempt the extra point. He was 6 for 6 the other night, and oh, there is the rush that is coming out before the ball was snapped. So the penalty, I think he might go for two now, meaning the coach, as that will take the ball to 1.5 yards away from the goal. And I would imagine that Coach Dylan Leach is going to go for a 2-point attempt here on the conversion. I don't know if he's called a timeout again. He has one timeout remaining.
Now, this is where the rust kicks in here, Ira. That extra point, they only had 10 players out there. I know the kids even noticed, so that's where that was a little rusty there.
Shemko is going to be in the backfield instead of James Robert.
Going to go for two. Absolutely.
So he has Shemko there in the backfield. And he gets to Shemko, and he gets in over the left tackle on an angle and actually going outside the guard to get in there to the end zone for the 2-point conversion. Yeah. So there's timeout at Memorial Stadium in Napa, California, with 4:46 to go in the first quarter. And the score, the Vintage Crushers of Napa 8, the Armijo Indians of Fairfield 0. You're in tune with KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the internet at KVON.com. Along with Kent Fry and Jacob Grant, this is Ira C. Smith, as we're watching now, as the kick, as the Chrysler's kick it down, it's in play inside the 5-yard line, brought back out by Chavez, and David Chavez is spilled as he gets across the 20-yard line. The Crushers, in their drive for the touchdown, went 62 yards after the interception, and 7 plays took them 3 minutes and 13 seconds to get into the end zone. And after the Abdul Bolinas kick, it was returned across the 20 out to about the almost the 23-yard line.
Great coverage on the kickoff team, Ira. Everybody staying there in their lanes. Ronnie Porter on the stop.
King out wide to the right side. Single setback. Double wides out to the left. Handoff is a angle to the right side. And, boy, they've got in there now Demetrius Perry.
So, well, obviously it wasn't Demetrius Perry on the ejection then.
Yeah. Okay, because Perry is back into that offensive lineup. He did go out after the indication from the official, but maybe the guy that was ejected had gone out earlier.
Could be. I've never... I'm still confused on that whole scenario, what happened.
Yeah, maybe Jacob can find out who was ejected as we progress through this ball game. Ede, the quarterback, hands off, and they give the ball to Perry, and he tries left side, and he was hit by several, including Zach Daniels over there, big 5'8 defensive lineman.
Yeah, Zach did a great job, Ira. Max Craig, Zach Daniels, they lead that defensive front.
Here's a third down coming up, a possession type down. They need 7 yards. They're at their own 26-yard line. Keep in mind that their kicker is a sophomore brought up from the JV team, and he would be the one called on to punt if they do not achieve a first down on this play. Tariq Eid is back to pass. He fires a long one, lobs it up there, and it is deflected and knocked away by Michael Weber. Well, that was a tough play. He was battling against Samuel King there. King is only 5'8", and Weber's about 5'10", so they're fairly similar in stature. Weber had a couple inches advantage on the height.
Weber was a little lucky there. He lost track of the receiver and then saw that the ball was going to go to him and needs to get his head turned around, find that ball to break it up. So very fortunate for Vintage there.
Nolan Brown comes in on defense here. Well, it's not defense because it's a punting situation. So we get to see Juan Calderon do the punting. He gets set. He took a little time, but a nice punt. Comes down, bounds it around the 40-yard line, takes a reverse roll back to the 45-yard line in Vintage territory.
Hey, Ira, I got that name of the kid who got ejected.
Okay.
It is Jesse Mercado, number 74.
Oh, okay. Well, he was their starting left tackle. He's a 6'4", 280-pound senior. Wow.
Good job, Jake.
Yeah, thank you. All right. 29 yards on the punt and no return. So Mercado is the one ejected. And the Crushers putting their offense onto the field for their second series. Have just over 3 minutes to go here in the opening quarter of play. Vintage leading it 8-0. Fairly good field position now here at their own 45. And there's another flag.
Wow.
Probably a false start on that, but we'll wait until the referee. That is the case. That'll cost them 5 yards. Takes the ball back to their own 40-yard line.
No reason for that. Now, that's a mental mistake on Vintage. Isaiah just needs to take control and make sure everybody's set.
Isaiah Garcia, the quarterback from the pistol formation, gets the snap, rolls to his left, sets, fires, incomplete. He led Nolan Brown by too much, too far ahead of him. Brown was being covered by Samuel King pretty tightly anyway.
Yeah, they're just looking for a little 5 yard out there, little bunch receiver formation down on the bottom and just clearing out on the top side and trying to run a little underneath, outright underneath, and just like you said, Ira, just led him too far.
The Crushers need to get to the 45-yard line of the Armijo Indians, and they have the ball at their own 40-yard line. So it's second down and 15 yards to go, and they use two wideouts either side now with a single setback, putting Brown in motion, and are checking a fake to there, and Isaiah Garcia keeps the ball. He picks up the first down and then runs out of bounds. He went to his right. I thought he was going to hand off there, and then he pulled the ball back in and found an opening and goes 23 yards for a first down. How about that?
Absolutely, Ira. He's running that little zone option read with that motion back coming up. Rides that motion back and then made the proper read. Defensive end went down, and he kept the ball, and off he went. Great read by Isaiah Garcia on that little zone option.
Wide right again is Gary. Out left side is Brown. Pistol formation, they show blitz, and they hand it off, going to the left side and inside the 30-yard line, down to the 25, and almost to the 20 is Sam Carter, a 5'9 senior. We haven't seen much of Carter, but he looked real good on that play.
He did, and you know what set that up, Ira? James Robert out here in the slot making that great block to free Carter up. So great block, great execution. So Vintage is executing real well here, Ira.
Carter picking up 16 yards on the play. Still in the first quarter, 2:40 to go here in the opening period of play. Drew Hatfield, wing on the right side, out wide on the left side is Gary this time. And Garcia hands the ball off and going up the middle, angling inside the five is Robert. He will take it into the end zone. What a nice run. No flags out there that I see this time. Touchdown, James Robert, a 21-yard run.
Yeah, Robert. Line of scrimmage, Ira, just taking control right here. The Vintage line of scrimmage. Great job by James Robert.
Well, after things finally settled down, Vintage is starting to take control now. Still 2:24 to go here in the first quarter. They're going to attempt the extra point. Eddie Gonzalez is out there as the Crushers. And there is an offside from the Indians is coming across that line. Was Prince.
Let's see if Coach Leach goes for another two here.
I think he will.
I mean, if Armijo's going to give it to you,
if
why
you
not?
Know Dylan Leach, when he gets that given to him into the 1.5-yard line, They're going to go for two. There they have Shemko coming back out there. And they do not have James Robert in that backfield.
Now, I look for the same play, running Shemko right off the left side. Actually, off the right side this time. Look for he's going to go right over the right tackle here.
He's the only setback. And they give it to him. He goes over right tackle and goes into the end zone untouched for the successful two-point conversion. And, boy, did you call that one, Ken.
Yeah, it's the same play. They just ran it to the other side. The same play as the last two-point conversion. Just is all night long, just wide open.
So there's timeout with 2:24 to go in the first quarter. And the scores of Vintage Crashers of Napa 16 and the Armio Indians of Fairfield 0. Crashers go 55 yards in four plays, using only 39 seconds to get their second touchdown. And we're set now for Abdil Balinas' kick, soaring way back. At looks like it is going to go, and it hit the pylon on the left side of the end zone. So that is part of the goal line, and it will be brought back out to the 20-yard line on the touchback.
Ira, here's a quick update from Vacaville. It is now 19-0 Vacaville over Vintage in the first quarter.
Still in the first quarter there. Wow, we're 16-0 here. Vintage. Napa just running into a team that is powerful. Any place they're at home tonight as far as the Bulldogs. And we'll keep you posted on the scores of that game. We get through the first quarter here. It's been some quarter. The Crashers defense comes onto the field now as the Indians, they use the shotgun-type formation and they hand off and they bring them down in the back. Well, Jacob Bittner just got in there right away. And
Max Craig as well.
Yeah. And Bittner just grabbed him, and Craig came in low, and they didn't have any place to go on Luca Lewis. Lewis is normally used as a slot back. A loss of 3 yards on the play. We're inside of 2 minutes to go now here in the first quarter.
Ira, that front three, you have Demetrio Martin, Max Craig, and Colton Fisher. They are a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, they've been doing a fine job. They're trying it off right tackle.
There's Craig again.
Yep, and he comes in and stops him for maybe a yard or two gain as the ball was carried by Demetrius Perry.
Armia was pulling the left guard and the left tackle, trying to run a counter to Perry, and Craig just chased him down from behind and made him stop for a loss.
Yeah, another yard loss, so it's third down and 14 to go. So another possession-type play coming up here for the Indians. We still have over a minute to go in this first quarter. The quarterback, Tariq Eid, the Crashers show blitz, and they got in there too quick. They were not only showing blitz, but they penetrated the line of scrimmage for the encroachment.
Yeah, Sehaw coming a little too early on that.
Yeah. Was that the safety blitz they had coming?
He's coming in from a linebacker spot, yeah.
You know, he started way back and headed that direction. And
trying to disguise it and then just trying to time it right where he'd be there at the snap and just got there too early.
So it'll be third down yet, but 9 yards to go instead of 14 yards to go. Anthony Gonzalez, the head coach in his first year, giving his quarterback the information, Tariq Eid, coming back to the line. He's a 6'1", 180-pound senior, working from a shotgun formation. Trip set to the right, two wides to the left, empty backfield as he looks. He's going to run with the ball, and he runs right into the Crashers line and linebacker. He may have gotten back to the line. Well, I guess he got a yard or maybe a yard and a half when he fell down there. But, boy, that was a very difficult play for the quarterback.
It really was. And that was Demetrio Martin chasing him down from behind. From his left, they were going to Vintage's right-hand side defensive-wise, and Demetrio Martin coming from the left end chasing him down. I'm impressed with the front three of Vintage. I really am. Max Craig and Colton Fisher and Martin, what a trio they are.
That was a set play, too. That wasn't just where the quarterback tried to put something together. So that's going to end the quarter. So we're at the end of one quarter of play here at Memorial Stadium. And our score is the Vintage Chryslers of Napa 16, the Army O Indians of Fairfield 0.
After one quarter of play, total offense for Vintage, 142 yards. For Army O, just 18 yards, Ira.
How many yards and penalties there? That's probably the winner. Annette, I don't know if we can figure that out that quick, but a lot of...
98 yards in penalties so far for the two teams.
Here's Calderon getting the kick away. Another good one coming down and is taken on the fly at the 50-yard line. Brought back up across the 45 to the 40. Flag comes out as Michael Weber is stopped at around the 40-yard line. He took that ball on the run and was able to take the ball into the Indians' territory and stopped at the 40. We'll see against whom the penalty is. It's going to go against the Vintage Chryslers.
Michael Weber did a good job coming up to make that catch instead of letting the ball hit and roll whichever way.
Actually, I think one of the officials signaled the penalty was against Armio, but he may have gotten turned around there. Yep, he's marking it off against Vintage. You're right, Ira.
Yeah, the penalty takes the ball back to the 49-yard line, but they're still in Army O territory. So the Chryslers with Nolan Brown going to go wide to the left side. The Chryslers have number 18 in the backfield. Let's see, I'm checking on my roster, and I don't... show number 18. We'll have to check on that here in a moment. And that's who they, well, they hand off and go to the right side out across the inside the 45-yard line.
I think that was to Burnett. No, excuse me.
No, that handoff to Ray O'Brien.
O'Brien, excuse me.
O'Brien gets to about the 43-yard line. And Chryslers, you look on their sideline. They just have so many on their roster. Then you look across the way, and Armio just does not have too many. And on the counter, they give it back to Ray O'Brien, and he's hit and dropped at about the 40. And there is another flag.
And another, Ira, another flag besides that. That came in real late.
Well, we're well over 100 yards already in penalties, and we're just starting the second quarter of our game. So it's going to stretch it out. And, of course, the farther we stretch, the more that Armio is probably going to put the ball in the air.
Yeah, Jake, what do you see down there?
Number 18's name is Manny Alvera.
Okay, thank you. 18, Alvera. Okay, we look at the Chryslers being penalized once again. And that was from around the... Well, it's going to be put down at the 41-yard line. So we're just underway here in the second quarter of play. Vintage Chryslers with the football. Isaiah Garcia has gone all the way so far at quarterback. The way the Chryslers line is performing, they might produce enough points that we see others operate at that position, as we saw Ernie Seah have a very successful tour there as a quarterback in our last broadcast against Rodriguez. And there is an encroachment, a good cadence there by Isaiah Garcia, pulled the Army O Indians offside.
So, you know, Ronnie Porter, when Armio jumped, he went forward. And I think Ronnie Porter's just got some smarts. He acted like he was going in motion, Ira. I don't think that was designed. I think that's just great great whereabouts on Ronnie Porter.
Well, it also gives the Chryslers a first down there at the 36-yard line of Armio. Brown out to the left. Tight end on the right side is Martin. Have a man in motion. They go up the middle with... Zivlovic carrying. Zivlovic gets out to about close to the 25-yard line. That's the first time that Peja Zivlovic has carried the ball tonight. And he gets it to the 25-yard line for another Chryslers first down.
This is what Coach Leach wants to see, just solid running the ball up in between the tackles.
And there's another flag there as Zivlovic was in the backfield along with Ronnie Porter, and Porter went in motion again.
He did, you know, and he actually stuttered right at the start and then went in motion. I think that's what they're calling it on.
I remember a game several years ago when we were still broadcasting from the east side where we ended up with something like 27 penalties combined for the two teams. We're up to 14 already. Yeah, I think we could be looking for a new record.
A new record is right. We're on track.
Well, this is the eighth year here at the new stadium, the old stadium around for 59 years, and these 8 years have gone by fast. And, well, I don't know exactly what happened there, as there's another flag that has come out, and the official is indicating another false start.
They're calling Isaiah Garcia. When he wants his man to go in motion, he kicks his leg back, and that's what they're calling.
Well, they're allowed to do that.
I know, but that's, I'm telling you how nitpicky they're getting here.
Okay, well, they're, and that is used by a lot of teams.
I saw Coach Leach telling Isaiah, hey, you're making it too much here.
Oh, well, maybe he's kicking it back too much. He is set. Hands off to Robert. Robert is hit behind the line of scrimmage, able to plow forward for a couple yards, but it's going to be just short yardage that time for James Robert. Crushers have to get all the way down to the 15-yard line for a first down, and the ball is back at the 33-yard line where it's second down, 18 yards to go for the Vintage Crushers. They lead it 16-0 with 9 minutes to go in the second quarter. Two wideouts on the right, one on the left. Quarterback keeps the ball. He gets by one, changes directions, hit by another. Flag comes out, dropped there by another.
Wow.
Jeez, another flag.
I don't understand this flag.
Oh, boy. Get the officials together and say, let them play. And that the referee started to give the indication, but he was giving it to the other sideline. Now he's showing face mask against the Armijo Indians. It was an incidental face mask, so it's not the 15-yarder. It's just the 5-yarder, and it does not include an automatic first down. So that'll bring up third down, and it takes the ball to the 28-yard line. Again, the Crushers need to get to the 15-yard line for a first down. So in those incidentals, you could almost
just another whistle.
Yeah.
I will say, though, something like face mask, I want to see those called because that's something where a player could get injured.
Absolutely.
As opposed to, you know, maybe a penalty where it's just something that's normally taking place, like the quarterback, you know, tapping his foot.
Yep. Well, he tapped it again. No whistle this time. Oh, there is the flag. Yep, there. And I don't know if that's going to be on the quarterback because he does lift his leg up a bit. And they're going to show a false start against the Crushers again.
Well, they're calling it on the tight end, 87, who is split out wide, Martin.
By the way, he's lining up.
You know,
Demetrio.
Yeah, that's who they called it on that time.
Okay.
This is just unbelievable.
It is. Well, that moves the ball back to the 33-yard line. 16-0, though, is the score. Vintage has the lead. And in the pistol formation, the quarterback, Garcia, takes a snap out into the right flat. It's a lateral, and it's dropped, and there's a scramble for the ball. It's a live ball, and the Crushers cover it up as Michael Weber is there to secure possession for the Vintage Crushers. They'll lose quite a bit of yardage on the play, but they retain possession of the football as the ball was passed out into the right flat, but it was behind the line of scrimmage, making it a live ball, and they lose about 10 yards on that play.
Well, I tell you, the Vintage coaching staff is just going to have a nightmare when they watch a series on tape tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, if they get through the first quarter, that's fast forward to the second half maybe. Garcia on the run, fires the ball. And it's to Brown. He catches it, and then he drops it. It's ruling it incomplete. Boy, he took a heavy hit there, too.
And Ira, this is what I'm talking about. Garcia just lofts the ball too softly. He needs to put zip on the ball because he's going to get a receiver hurt because that ball's taking its time to get into the receiver. Receiver is open. He needs to zip it right in there right away instead of lobbing it in there.
It wouldn't have counted anyway. There was a hold against the Vintage Crashers. So how about that, a penalty?
I would think that Armia would decline this and make it fourth down and 28.
And that's what they're doing here.
So that will not count as a penalty.
All right, I'm not going to count that in the total, but we are up to 19 so far.
No, it's declined, the penalty. So the Crashers, for the first time, looking at a punting situation. Abdul Bolinas coming onto the field now. He'll be dropping back into Crusher territory to get the kick away. And David Chavez drops back to his own 10-yard line to field the punt. Boy, they had a rush put on there. The ball bounds, and it's caught down there inside the 20-yard line by one of the Crushers. That was Michael Weber that just caught the ball instead of letting it land to see where it was going to bounce. So at that point, after a 24-yard punt.
Ira, I hate to tell you, but there's another flag on this play.
What we should do is watch and see if a play is complete without a flag.
I don't think the referees have ever seen motion before. I really don't. I guess I should remain neutral, but they are really calling some ticky-tack, unbelievable flags here.
On both ways.
Both ways. Yeah. Absolutely right. And I'm back to your original comment. I think the refs have been a little rusty during these 2 weeks.
Including punts, there have been 33 plays in this game, and we've had 22 penalties called so far. I'm not. There, a couple of them have been declined or offset. But we're basically at the 22 mark on just 33 snaps of the football.
Well, they declined that one, too.
And Coach Leach is asking, why are we being called for illegal procedure? He wants clarification from the ref.
Yeah. Yeah. And he holds his palms up in the air like, what? Well, that will mean that the Armio Indians have the ball just outside of their own 20-yard line as they take over on offense with 7 minutes to go in the first half. And the snap, and they hand it off to the running back there, tries over right tackle and just gets maybe a yard or two, not much more than that, as it was Demetrius Perry going right into the linebackers. And one of the tacklers in on that was Yami Shemko.
Yep.
Several others were.
Josh Galdamez was in there. I tell you, that front is very tough. The Vintage front, I'm very impressed with the Vintage front three and the linebacking core.
Well, a lot of guys on the sidelines hope that Vintage can really open up the game, getting a lot of points so they can get into the game tonight, if that is a possibility for them. Quarterback Eade takes the snap, drop back to pass, looks, fires it on the right flat, and it's incomplete. The ball was there, and it looked like the intended receiver kind of batted it away. That was David Chavez, almost volleyball style.
Yeah, he actually did. I think he was trying to make it over the hat catch, but just couldn't hang on and batted it back down.
That ring up third down. About 8 yards to go for a first down. Incomplete forward pass stops the clock with 6:17 to go in the first half. 16-0, the Vintage Crashers of Napa in the lead and on defense now. Heading toward the north end zone, the Armio Indians. And they're back in their own territory, and they take the snap and hand off. They try to go to the right side. Nothing opens up there. Some real good pursuit of Luca Lewis, the 5'9 senior, and Luca brought down for no gain on the play.
Chased down by Zach Daniels, number 58. I'm telling you, these defensive tackles and the nose guard are just, they are tough.
Lost a couple yards on that play. Crashers will see what they can do with Shidez dropping back, and the sophomore punter gets another good one. Shidez is coming over, and he will field it. goes out the 45, the 50, the 45, down the sideline. Chydez to the 35, the 30, change of direction to the 20, cuts in at the 15, inside the 10, down to the 5, into the end zone. Oh, my goodness. That was about a 60-yard, 58-yard make it return for the Crushers by Jesse Chydez.
And Ira, no flags. Can you believe it? No flags on the play. That was a design play, design return right, Coach Leach had called.
Yeah, it was some good blocking, but some really fine running. And good
absolutely
sidestepping and
all. And great blocking.
Chydez. Anyway, he gets the touchdown. And the Crushers will probably have Eddie Gonzalez come out for the third time. He has yet to kick, but he has come out on the two previous things.
Well, Armio keeps now what do we have? The referee talking to Coach Leach about something.
It's not the referee. The one of the Lions are getting information. They're getting ready to see about the extra point. And the guy that kicks the extra points is Eddie Gonzalez. The guy that kicks off and does the punting is Abdul Balinas. And we still have 5.5 minutes to go in the first half on KVON 1440, Napa, California. Crushers have spent two of their timeouts. They have one remaining, and they're coming over around their coach again. The huddle, I don't know if Coach Leach is going to spend that other timeout, but now he's called the referee over. And he's got one of the team captains, James Robert, right there with him. Well, hopefully we'll have a chance to chat with Dylan Leach, the head coach, after the game when Jacob Grant can find out about all of these delays and the calls and then the time that it takes the officials to sort things out. And
Jake, I don't know if you're down there, if you can catch on what's going on down there.
I didn't hear what was happening. I'm going to try to find out.
Okay. That's a good assignment. You had any complaints yet about your jacket there, Jake? No complaints?
No, yeah. There's a couple of Sharks fans down here, but they aren't talking much after they lose.
Well, if we lose you at halftime, we'll know what happened.
Okay.
Wearing
all right.
New York Islander.
Remember, Jake is going to cost you to come back in this office up here.
Yeah, I know. My my pass has been declined already.
All right. Well, there's still talk. Dylan Lee's still talking with the referee. The referee is Don Nelson. The umpire is Mark Fagan. The head linesman is Rodney Dixon. The line judge is Matt Reedy. The back judge is A.C. Carver, the second. And the referee shaking his head affirmatively as he heads back toward the field of play and showing unsportsmanlike conduct against the Crushers and an ejection. Oh, so the Crushers and Dylan Leach wants him back.
James Robert is ejected.
James Robert. Well, wow. Now, boy, I don't know when I've ever... I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like this the first half. So we've had an ejection from each side.
Now, Dino, as rules expert, when you're ejected, do you have to sit the following game?
I believe that's correct, Kent. I think those players are both out of next week's games for their teams.
Dylan Leach is not satisfied yet. He's still harping at the official. He's still out on the field. He's going to get a penalty if he doesn't get off the field. He's going to take his last time out. He wants to talk
to the ref. He's going to burn a timeout. Talk to the ref.
Yeah, that's his final timeout here in the first half. He spent all three of them mainly to talk to the officials. Now he's out there going way out on the field to talk to the referee.
And what Coach Leach is upset about, he wants his kids just to play, and he's telling these refs, hey, you're not letting them play. And you're right, Ira, it's been going both sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very uncommon for you to see an ejection. It does happen on occasion, but usually it's a flagrant type of situation. And I'm not sure what James Robert could have done on that for the ejection. Dylan Leach is still out there protesting the situation. I imagine we can't read his lips or tell what he's talking about.
Well, thank goodness at least that the next week isn't the big game, because if James Robert would have to sit out the big game, that would just be a tragedy.
Well, it is a big game in a way. They're playing Willsey Wood,
yeah,
and, you know, over there at Vacaville, and this is for league, you know, league titles.
And Wood is 2-0. They have not lost, and I think they're playing Rodriguez tonight, and they have a good chance. Rodriguez without a win there in the league, so.
Ira, just to it's pretty ugly over at Vacaville as well, as now it is 33-0 Vacaville over Napa High.
Ira, it's targeting.
That is the reason for thank you.
On a punt return, targeting?
Yeah. Well,
he was ejected on the punt return, so how can you get targeting?
That's what the side judge was telling me. So,
okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. That is an ejection. If you're called for targeting, that is an ejection, and that means that you are outside the perimeters of the regular play, going after somebody and intentionally trying to hurt them or something. The extra point is on the way, and it is good. So they finally did get to attempt the extra point, and once again, Eddie Gonzalez comes through and makes the extra point. There's a timeout here at Memorial Stadium in Napa with 5.5 minutes to go in the first half. The score now is the Vintage Crushers of Napa 23 and the Army O Indians of Fairfield 0. Well, back here at Memorial Stadium, it is Eddie Gonzalez that is teeing up the football, not Abdil Bolinas. Eddie is the one that kicks the extra points, and normally Abdil is the one that kicks off and does the punting. But it's Eddie Gonzalez out there, and the officials have yet to put the ball down to put it in play.
I think they're going to march off the penalty now, because the penalty yardage was never marched off on the targeting foul. So now the Crushers are going to kick off from probably the 25-yard line.
Yep, they take it back now, the 15 yards.
And that now puts the Crushers at 110 yards in penalties, and we're only in the first half. And I'm only counting the penalties that were actually accepted and were not offset by a penalty against Armio. 110 yards in Crusher penalties.
Okay, so I don't know if Gonzalez has kicked off before. Most of the time it's been Bolinas anyway, as here's his approach to the football, and his right-footed kick is end over end, soaring down to the 23-yard line. Taken back there and getting in a little bit of a jam is David Chavez as he started to change direction, and the Crushers came in and took the ball, but they're saying now the ball was down as
no, there's another flag thrown on this side judge right in front of the Vintage bench, 25 yards away from the play.
Oh boy. And anyway Ernie Seha was the one that got in there and took the ball and started to run away with it, but it had been blowing dead, and there was another penalty. And the officials are conferring on this. So the referee giving the indication. A unsportsmanlike conduct against Armio. So there's another penalty. That one goes a 15-yarder against the Armio Indians.
And Dino, I just received confirmation. James Roberts out for next week's ball game against Willsey Wood.
Wow. I was afraid of that.
Yeah. That you know, that's a toughie. He has been good on both sides of the football.
It's very frustrating, because the way the refs have taken control of this game, it's not the kids' game. This has become the referees' games, guys. Yeah. And it's ugly in that sense. They have no clue of what's going on here. They're just trying to call every little infraction that they see what they think they see. It's unbelievable.
Well, then moves the ball back to the Armio 22-yard line. They're near that south end zone heading toward the north, but they're 78 yards away from their territory. Right now they're being shut out in the first half, 23-0. Still 5:22 to go here in the second quarter. This has already been a long one, but it's going to be a lengthy game with the all the penalties that have been accumulating here. So it's a first down, and the quarterback, Ede, and I don't know if there's a timeout or what, but the referee pointed toward the Indian, they're pointing there toward their side, and the referee has come over to say something to one of the setbacks. I don't know what that was, but in the meantime, Ede is back ready to go, and here we go. He takes a snap and back to pass, puts a little pass that is complete on the right side for a short gain on the play as Douglas Edwards, a senior, but he's only about 5'4". But he did a good job of holding on to the ball and was able to get about 3 yards on the play. Bring it up second down and 7 yards to go. The Crushers with the defense on the field and the set for the Armio Indians. Ede hands off. They go right up the middle. And coming in for the tackle, one of whom was Yami Shemko.
Yep, Shemko was there. He's a hard-nosed football player, isn't he, Ira?
He is. He has not been carrying the ball as much this season, but he has been so strong, so tenacious out there on defense. One of the Crushers.
Zach Daniels is down right now. Yep. Looks like maybe an ankle or knee just maybe banged up a little bit.
He had a bad ankle earlier. Yeah. He had an ankle injury that had bothered him earlier this season, and so I hope it's not that recurring problem for Zach. He's only about 5'8", but weighs about 210 pounds. Yeah. He's solid.
He's up. He didn't want to do anything with Brandon out there. He's up right now.
Yeah, he didn't want to come out. He wants to stay in there. 4.5 minutes to go here in the first half, 23-0. Vintage is in the lead. Napa's fallen way behind in their game at Vacaville.
Yeah, last is 33-0 over there.
Still in the first half there, too?
Yeah.
The Crushers trying to make it 3 wins in a row tonight. Their freshmen won to remain undefeated. The JVs won in a close contest, and the varsity is leading. The Napa JVs lost 40-30 game. It was pretty close till right to the end. And the Armio Indians getting set now to come up to the line. It's third down, 4 yards to go. They're at the 28-yard line, their own 28-yard line. Tyreek Ede, quarterback the JVs last year. And, no, check that. It was Juan Regalado that quarterbacked the JVs last year. But he had some experience on the varsity last year. Last year they went 1-9 and 0-5 in the league. They've already improved on both of those with 3 wins and 3 losses. And they are 0-1 in league play. And each team in the MEL will have just 4 league games this season instead of the usual 5.
Now they're conferring. There's somebody down on the north end of the end zone, some type of light fixture or something down there. That's where the refs are pointing at. I think they're going to ask that guy to move. He's coming across the back of the end zone now. Coach Leach is going to go to athletic director Cam Neal.
He's got a drone.
A drone, is that what it is? Yeah.
Yeah, it must have had a drone that was flying. There's the snap. Quarterback rolls back to pass, and he throws it. Nobody in the vicinity. And let's see if he was out of the. Now they're throwing the flag. It's going to be intentional grounding. That'll cost them the yardage and the down. That'll be 10 yards walked off, plus the loss of down. That'll bring up fourth down. The coaches on the other sideline now are really protesting. They're hollering at the officials now from the other sideline.
This is an ugly, ugly football game.
Well, maybe.
And Ira, it has nothing to do with the kids. Nothing. It's been taken out of their hands.
Right. So that penalty is yet to be walked off. Well, the referee has yet to signal, too. At least I assume it was intentional grounding. That should not be assumed with this. He did? Okay. All right. I missed him giving the signal, talking with Kent. So that takes the ball back to the 15-yard line. And the officials are still talking out there. They do a lot of conferring.
That's been a convention of the officials. And I don't know. I know now we have the principal down the end zone, Mike Pearson, talking with the fellow who had the drone.
Yeah.
So
you're absolutely right.
I think the officials are just going to wait until that's cleared up.
Well, it looks like it's cleared. I mean, I don't see anything happening down there in the north end zone. We're all the way back. I don't know. Was there another? Looks like there was another penalty as they're walking off more yardage against Armio.
Or is that the original penalty? I'm not quite sure.
No, it wasn't. Okay. They had walked it off previous.
It looked like the indication was maybe that Armio had too many men on the field.
An illegal substitution or something of that nature. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 now, yeah. Okay, now they'll be punting from back in their own end zone as Juan Calderon gets the snap. And he booms again. Boy, that is good recovery time as that ends up. Takes a good kick into Crusher territory. And there is some shoving going on after the play. And, boy, I know that Dylan Leach will not accept that. I don't see a flag that is come
well.
Out.
There was a flag thrown on the block, or he's picked it up.
There's a still flag back by the 40-yard line.
There was a good block by the vintage player, legal block, and I saw the ref, the official, throw his flag down. And I'm just sitting there saying, if he calls this targeting, it's going to be unbelievable.
Well, yeah, targeting means an automatic ejection. And you're unable to play then the next week. But all five of the officials are conferring now. We've had a lot of that tonight. And we're still in the second quarter with over 4 minutes to go. Vintage is leading at 23-0. But it has not been so much what's happening on the field. It's what's happening with the officiating here watching this situation. It's not favored one team or the other.
It's both sides, Ira. It's both sides. The officials have made it a point to they're going to run this ball game the way they want to run it.
Yeah. That guy with the drone, he still has the light turned on the drone, but he's being escorted by Principal Pearson to the sideline and getting him out of the area, and he's following to make certain that he is leaving.
Here's the call, Ira.
Yeah, I was watching Mr. Pearson. Okay, there's
dead ball.
Okay.
Personal foul.
So that was against the Crushers, that personal foul, 15 yards there. And one of the Crushers did do some shoving. I saw that, so it...
But he called the original foul on that block, and I just do not see that.
Yeah, that was the referee that did that made that call. And that was dropped. That one was dropped before the other one that I alluded to. So I think you're right that they called it on the first flag.
Right, it's a very clean block, too. Just a very good football player.
It's interesting because theoretically, if one was a dead ball foul, Armio should be able to accept both penalties. But it looks like maybe they're waving off the original illegal block call and only enforcing the personal foul.
Yeah, well, that's what they are indicating, that it was the personal foul. We did not see an indication for an illegal block. So the Crushers, they got 12, 13 players out there. Oh, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 maybe. I don't know if they got too many players on the field, though, but no call. There's the pass, and it's incomplete. 2, 4, 6, 8.
There's 10, 11.
11. 11 now, yeah.
Yep.
It's just the way they were swarming around, I was having trouble counting them, moving to situate themselves in the proper defensive situation. So with the incompleted forward pass, that will bring up second down, 10 yards to go. The ball is all the way down to the Crusher 26-yard line. I think that's the deepest penetration that Armio has had tonight, and basically set up by
penalties.
The penalties.
Yep.
So we'll see if they can advance it. They'd like to get on the scoreboard before halftime. Ede, the quarterback, getting Rice, firing, and it's incomplete. Intended for Luca. Luca Lewis. And just out of his reach. Stops the clock. 4 minutes to go here in the first half, 23-0. Vintage in the lead. Armio with the football at the Vintage 26-yard line with a third down and 10 yards to go. Perhaps you could set the scene as far as that Crusher defense, Kent.
Well, they're playing a three-man front with four linebackers. And then, you know, for a 3-7, or excuse me, not 3-7, a 3-4, if you will, or if you want to call it a 5-2. But basically, it's three down linemen, four backers, and then the two safeties and two corners. And they're just playing zone defense. But the front three of the Vintage Crushers are just doing a superb job. Here they're going to bring one of the outside guys.
He takes the snap, fires it down toward the end zone. It's tipped away. The pass was intended for Jordan Smith, the 6-foot senior, running a flag pattern, and just was tipped away from him. He had double coverage on him as he was going deep. That brings up fourth down at the 26-yard line. They were going to try to get it all there on that one throw. He has the arm. He can put it up there. And he had good height on that throw. Here is the fourth down. They're in four down territory there at the 26. Has one setback and double wides either side. He takes the snap, looks to his right, fires to the right, fires it up in the air, and both the the ball is deflected away. Both the receiver and Isaiah Garcia, the defender, went up for the ball.
Yeah, good job, Garcia, just to make sure he didn't come down with that ball. But Garcia, the quarterback, playing that safety spot, and went up for a jump ball, if you will, Ira, and they both came down with it and then knocked it out of the way. So great play by Isaiah Garcia.
Yeah, so the ball comes back to the 26-yard line where Vintage will take over. And he caught the ball in the end zone, brought it down for a touchback. It had been out to the 20. So they get the ball at the 26-yard line. 3:45 to go here in this first half of play. Brown goes left. And the pitch goes to the right as they try to turn the... Then a good cut there by Ray O'Brien. He gets across the 30, 35. O'Brien has the 40 and down at the 42. But guess what?
There's a flag, Ira.
That's right.
It's to the point now where every play that's run, you just look for laundry on the field.
Well, I mean, you know, whenever there is something that needs to be called, it's good that they do call them. But this one is another personal foul against the Crushers. And that's going to be, if it's from the spot of the foul, that'd be half the distance to the goal, because that was from about the 26-yard line. And anyway.
Well, I'm trying to figure out what a personal foul would be. I mean, I figure maybe a block, or were they blocking below the waist?
But Dino, that would be a different signal, though.
Exactly. That's why I say, what would... constitute a personal foul here on this running play.
Okay, personal foul. That takes the ball back inside the 15 to about the 13-yard line. So, Well, they've got about 23 yards to go for a first down to the Crashers from the pistol formation. They hand off. They go to the right. It looks a similar type play across the 20. And Ray O'Brien is out to the 23-yard line when he's brought down. They have to get out to the 36-yard line for a first down. So they're about 13 yards shy of that.
Yeah, they just run in that counter, Ira, where they're pulling left guard and left tackle, bringing them around to the right side. The right side of the line blocks down. O'Brien following those big guys right up the blocking alley, if you will.
Zach Gary out wide left. And the play goes to the left. A good cut by O'Brien. He is at the 25. He's still going to the 30-yard line. He needs to get the 36. He's brought down at the 31-yard line.
And that time they ran the counter back the other way.
Yeah. And
O'Brien's doing a good job filling in for James Robert.
David Chavez, defensive back, is the one that finally stopped him on that play. Yeah, they counted so heavily on the fine running of James Robert. And if not going to be able to use him the rest of this game, and not at all next week. A real tough blow to the Crashers. Shemko is in that backfield now. They have a tight formation. Quarterback back to a little pop pass to Shemko. Shemko the 35. He's got the first down, the 40. He was hit by three players. The first one was Jordan Smith that hit him. And then two others joined in, including David Chavez.
Nice little play, Ira. They just faked the motion back going to the left. Shemko comes from that backfield from the left side and slips out to the right, and they just dump it to the fullback like that. Great little play call.
From the 45-yard line, still in Crusher territory, they use double wide out to the left side. Shemko still in that backfield. The pitch goes to the left side now, and the Crusher turned the corner at the 40, the 45, and it is Michael Weber at the midfield. Cuts inside and goes down to about the 47-yard line of Armio. Stopped there, 47, just shy of a... another Crusher first down.
Referee calling a flag here. Personal foul against Vintage.
Another personal foul. Boy, the totals are really mounting up. Going to need another pencil.
I'm astonished.
I watched this flag come. It was well after the play was over. It was like a late flag. And I didn't see anybody there where he flew the flag at.
Kent, the Crushers have now been assessed 170 yards in penalties, and I'm only counting the ones that have actually been enforced, and we're still in the first half.
This is just unbelievable. Where he threw the flag, Dino, there was no one there. That's just where I'm getting at. There's no one there.
Isaiah Garcia rolls out to his right, looks downfield, fires it down there, and it is caught. It'll be shy of a first down, but Zach Gary holds on to it as he is brought down shy of midfield.
And they're going to call targeting here.
Targeting.
But you know, this is what I'm going back to, Dino. That was a clean football play where it wasn't intentional targeting. I know the play call. I know why the rule is in effect, but because the two heads met, they're going to call it.
Well, they're calling it a helmet. They have not called it targeting yet.
It was not intentional.
So that's why they're not calling it.
Well, that's a good
thing.
It has
to be intentional to be called targeting.
Okay.
But it does give the Crashers the ball inside the 40 at the 39-yard line in Armio territory. The officials are waiting until things are set. Now they are, and the Crashers are up to the line. Trip set left, single set back, tight end right side. Going to the left is the quarterback, Garcia. Sets, fire, and it's intercepted to the 35, out to the 40, the 45, and a tackle is made. And that was completion was to Douglas Edwards of Armio, the only guy that I saw in that area.
Yeah, Garcia just didn't see him. He threw it right to him.
Right to him.
Maybe he thought his receiver was going to make another move. I mean, there's no one there.
That was, I know that it was an embarrassing situation for Isaiah. He stays out there on defense. But that is a turnover, and it takes the ball to the 49-yard line where Armio gets the ball with a minute 10 to go here in the first half. Vintage is leading 23-0. And They have a different quarterback in there. Now there's another flag as the pass is incomplete from Juan Regalado. Regalado, the junior, is in there now in place of Eid. So they have changed quarterbacks here just before halftime. Juan Regalado was the JV quarterback last year, but there was another flag on that play. And the officials are conferring again there.
The initial call was personal foul against the offense, against Armia.
Right.
Well, we still have over a minute to go here in the, and they're walking it off against Vintage. The Crashers. And watch the official here and see if he gives another signal. I did not see his initial signal, but it moves the ball. He does not give another signal. Takes the ball down to the 36-yard line in Vintage territory now. And Regalado, the junior quarterback, back to pass. He fires it to the right side, and it is caught. And it was David Chavez holding onto the ball, and then he was wrestled to the sideline and out of bounds at the 31-yard line.
Actually, he stayed in bounds, Ira, and now they've Army has called a timeout.
Okay, I guess they blew the whistle when they had him wrapped up.
Right, Michael Weber on the tackle there.
So the Armio Indians would love to get into the end zone or get something on the board here in the this first half. In fact, I'm going to check their totals as far as their scores in other ball games to see how they have done. I've got that someplace here. Maybe we can go over that at halftime, comparing scores of their.
Quick update, Ira. It's 33-7 over at Vacaville with 23 seconds left in the first half. So Napa has gotten on the board over there at Vacaville against the Bulldogs. At 33 Vacaville, 7 Napa with 27 seconds left in the first half.
Now, let's see. They defeated Jesse Bethel 38-30, so that's the most points they've scored in the game. There's the pitch out into the left flat. There is going to be a halfback pass toward the end zone. Complete touchdown for the Armio Indians. Jordan Smith on the receiving end as they had a lateral into the backfield, and then the pass into the end zone where Jordan Smith was wide open. So they have gotten a 31-yard touchdown pass. That was from Luca Lewis, who was the slot back on that play, rolled out to his left and then backed up, took the lateral pass, and then he fired the forward pass into the end zone. Now we'll have the extra point attempt by Juan Calderon, the sophomore, and his kick is on the way and good. So there is timeout here at Memorial Stadium. With the Vintage Crashers 23, the Armio Indians 7. You're listening to KVON 1440, Napa, California. Along with Kent Fry, this is Ira C. Smith, Jacob Grant, our sideline reporter, Dean Alessio with the stats. And Kent, Dylan Leach seemed to think there were two forward passes on
that.
Yeah,
Dylan's talking to the umpire now, who all he's doing is just telling the Vintage guys to back up on the sideline.
Dylan has been more demonstrative in this game than I remember.
Well, what's happened, Ira, is that both coaches, and rightfully so, the refs have just taken this game out of the players' hands, out of the coaches' hands, and the coaches are trying to, you know, both coaches now have to battle the refs, and they're trying to just let their kids play.
Yeah, and Dylan says you should have had a flag on that one. There's kind of an onside kick. A squibbed kick is picked up at the 35-yard line and brought back the 40, 45, midfield to 45-yard line, and then brought down is Zivlovic. As Peja Zivlovic gets the ball back to the 45-yard line, but only half a minute to go here in the first half. But nice run there by Peja.
Yep.
Looking at the three wins for Armio, when we have a chance here, They had a win over Jesse Bethel, 38-30. They beat Mount Diablo, which is in Concord, 36-6. They beat Fairfield, and that what is their big game, 24-6. So they've already played. So those are their three wins, right around the 30 area. The quarterback keeps the ball on the option, goes to the right, and goes out of bounds to stop the clock inside of the 35-yard line. I don't know if that was an option or if that was just a set.
No, that was a design play right there, Ira. He's going to keep that ball. Good hard-nosed running by Isaiah Garcia.
Well, the
Garcia.
Clock is still going. I thought they ran out of bounds.
The referee signaled for the clock to run, even though the ball carrier went out of bounds, and it was a first down, and the chains hadn't been moved yet.
Yeah, the refs are just unbelievable.
Well, you know, they had to reschedule this game. It was scheduled for last night, so they had to go through the procedure as far as Vintage High School and request the referees and all. So this is
started the clock on them. He was clearly out of bounds.
He was. Yeah, that's what ended the play. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, 10 seconds to go, and Garcia rolls out. He sets. He's being rushed. He rolls to his right. There's a flag on the play. He looks. He's got an open man down there, and the pass is intercepted. It was not long enough, and it was a wobbly pass. But there is a flag. Let's see. The ball, while it was... intercepted by David Chavez, was tossed up in the air after he got it in the... We have a penalty against Vintage that was declined, a hold on that play. So time is going to run out here at the end of the first half, and so we'll be back. We have a special guest with whom we will be talking, one of the new inductees to the Vintage High Athletic Hall of Fame when we return. But it's halftime at Memorial Stadium in Napa, California, with the score the Vintage Crushers 23 and the Armio Indians 7. All right, we're back at Memorial Stadium. The Vintage High School Marching Band is going to perform, so we commend them. So thanks a lot for putting things together and coming back here after the disastrous couple-week period that we have had. And our commendations to Brandon Galvin, the new band director, for getting the band out here tonight during some very tough times during the last couple weeks. But we have a guest. Kent Fry is going to talk to a guy that recently was inducted into the Vintage High School Athletic Hall of Fame.
And talk about the Dick Clark of coaching, Ira, a guy who never ages, looks the same all the time, in shape, good looking. How about Coach Jim Lanterman, the newest inductee to the Vintage Hall of Fame? Welcome, Jim, and tell us about the induction and what your feelings were going through and just being inducted to the Hall of Fame.
Well, I was told about it. Actually, I was at a wrestling meet with Freestyle down in Oakland, and I got the word that I had been selected to be in the Hall of Fame, and it really is a surprise for me. I had never expected it whatsoever.
Now, you spent many years coaching and teaching at Vintage, and I know you still help out with the wrestling team as you were the head wrestling coach. Tell us about all those years of developing, you know, the wrestling team and the success it's had over all these years.
Well, it was a start. When I first started, I was asked to take over the wrestling team at Redwood Junior High at the time. And about that time, Tim Mulligan was the head wrestling coach at the junior high program. And then he moved over to Napa High School. And one day, both Paul Gillies and Jim Gibney came down to my shop and asked me if I would consider taking on the wrestling program. And I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never done wrestling before. And they said, well, you know, we'll get you some help and everything. And what we need is a teacher in charge. So I agreed to them, but I said, don't expect a whole lot out of me because I have never done this before. You know, and I just hope I can, you know, meet your standards. So, as it turned out, that we were very successful. We won 6 straight junior high championships with the ninth grade, or excuse me, the seventh and eighth, and 5 with the ninth grade. And so that was pretty nice for it. And then in 1982, We moved to Venice High School when they moved the ninth grade to the high school and made it a four-year high school program. And I took over at that time for Bob Tedesco, who was the acting coach at that time. And he stayed on for about a year, year and a half, and helped me out quite a bit. And then I had some great help coming in. I had Carl Murphy, which was, you know, a fantastic guy. And, you know, he had a lot of knowledge about wrestling, and I learned a lot. And then Bob Nisande came in and helped me there. Both of them were over with me for over 20 years. And, you know, I don't know if I could have done ever have half the stuff that would happen without those two guys being on my side. And so I learned a lot. I mean, I learned, like I told the kids when we first started wrestling, I said, hey, we're going to learn this by ourselves, and hopefully it'll all work out. And it has.
And you mentioned two great names there, Carl Murphy and Bob Nisande. I see them at the gym, you know, with the kids all the time, and you know, wrestlers themselves in their own right, and tremendous.
Yeah, Bob was a five-time national freestyle champion, and as about four-time Greco-Roman, and Carl was in that same boat. He went and did the freestyle and won national championships as well. So it was a great combination to have, and those guys really put us on the map on that.
And can you tell us the difference for us novices in wrestling? You know, I love that sport to watch. I love going to a wrestling meet and just watching those guys. But what is Greco-Roman? What is freestyle?
Okay, well, Greco-Roman is based on the same thing as freestyle, only Greco, you cannot touch the legs. It all has to be upper body, all upper body throws, everything that you do. You cannot use the legs as any type of holding area. Whereas freestyle, it's basically just like high school or what they call folk-style wrestling. And so they keep that going, and it's been a pretty prominent program, and the kids that have stayed with it really, really helped them when they came back to the high school wrestling program.
Now, what year did you retire, Jim?
I retired.
From teaching, that is.
I retired from teaching in 2008 after 42 years of teaching.
And what are you doing in your free time, if you have any free time?
Well, I do most of the time, but what I've done is got me into doing some furniture restoration, fixing some antique furniture and things of this sort. And the good thing about it is I can just do what I want to, and if I get tired of it, I can just set it aside and go on and do what else I want to do.
But you're such a supporter of all sports here, you know, at Vintage High School. You're at all the, you know, you've been at every football game, I think, since Vintage has opened up.
I try to be, yeah. I try to be.
Yeah. You're just a fixture. I love it, you know. And, of course, you know, when I was coaching, you know, we always, you know, hey, we'd always tell our players, you guys go talk, you know, if you're not going to play basketball, you go talk to Coach Lanham. We want you wrestling.
Exactly. You know. Yeah, well, that was the other thing, too, is that as when I went over to Vintage, about 3-4 years into that, then Burl Autry talked to me, and I started with the freshman program there, and I did the freshman program for about 10 years. So I also used it as a kind of recruiting stool as well, so I could talk to the kids that I had on the team, get them to come out for wrestling, so, you know, it one thing came into the other.
Right. Now, with wrestling, Jim, tell us how many different weight divisions are there?
Well, right now there's 14, and it starts out about 103, and the top heavyweight goes to 275 at the end of the season. They have progressive weights, and right now there's what they call the hydration test, where they take a hydration test at the beginning of the season, and when they go to weigh in, they tell them, okay, you're this weight, you can only drop to this weight. And that keeps them from crash dieting and trying to lose 10, 15 pounds, you know, over the time that they have to be there. So it's really a good thing for the kids, their health, and you know, a kid's not trying to drop 10 pounds in 1 week. It's not allowed.
Now, how many kids typically come out for wrestling each year?
Well, right now, this press program, we had about 40 boys and about 18 girls. So we started our girls program now. This coming year will be 20 years.
20 years, right.
1998. And we started that because we had a young lady on the team by the name of Tia Andrews, which we used to call her Megan. And she was really good, but her problem is that in any of the other girls that we did have on the team had to wrestle boys because there wasn't really enough girls around for them to wrestle. So half the time they were wrestling boys in their competition. So we started the girls' tournament just for the idea that we'll see, okay, let's see if we can get more girls. And we started the tournament. I think we started out with about 55. That was back in 1998. And this last year we had over 600 girls that went our tournament.
So now the girls, is it more of a tournament, or is there an actual league for the girls?
Well, there's not really a league set up yet.
Okay.
There is tournaments, which now the girls have their own tournaments.
From all different schools.
All over the different areas.
Yep.
From anywhere from Del Oro, down south into the programs that they have, Contra Costa, and some in San Francisco, some in Vallejo, some in... Now, the program that we've run right now is good.
You know, right,
we've got some
right.
Kids there.
And in this being the last year in the MEL, you know, I know Vintage is always up there. Who are the powerhouses in wrestling, Jim?
Powerhouses obviously is our cohort right across the hill there is Vacaville.
Right.
They've been proverbial champions ever since they got into the league. I think they've run it like 25, 26 times in a row. You know, tied twice, I believe, and then they've always had kids go to the state and things of this sort. So they are the ones. Then, of course, you get Fresno, and then teams that are in the Central Valley, they're very, very strong.
Right. So any final thoughts about this game or what you're going to do in the future and what you'd like to see as far as the wrestling program progressing and where you've taken it from zero up to 100 and what's in the future?
Well, the picture looks really good because now the girls are have their own programs, and now there's some 28 universities that are offering women's scholarships to wrestle. And, of course, it's been accepted now into the Olympics. There's a known sport, women's wrestling in the Olympics. And we've just passed a young lady off from a graduating year that went up to Canada, and Andrews, Olivia... Excuse me, Libya Fisk, and then before that we had Andrews, and these girls were just fantastic, phenomenal girls, and they've got themselves scholarships because of it. So I don't see it anything more than it's just going to progress. It's just really, really taken off. It's probably the fastest growing sport in the United States right now for the girls.
Well, I think that's just terrific and fantastic, and it's people like you, Jim. That's why you're in the Hall of Fame. Let's face it, going at it for years, and you still do. When I say the Dick Clark of wrestling, Dick Clark of coaching, you have an age bit between you and Jim Gibney. You guys look the same as when I remember you when I was a young kid.
Well,
so
I just walk a little slower than anyway. It's something to that, Fred. And you know your cohort over here, Ira. We've been doing stuff like this for a long time as well, and it's been fun. You know, you deal with the kids, and you got the all of their great enthusiasm
that comes from it.
It's just a fantastic feeling. So as long as I can go, I'll probably try to go as long as I can.
All right. Thank you so much, Jim. Very much appreciated.
Hey, Hall of Famer.
That's right.
Jim Latterman, thank you very much, and keep up the good work, Eric. And he's not retired. No, I know.
But the key word there, Ira, why is he still doing it? The kids.
Hey, let's quickly check some of those first half statistics. I'm interested in what happened with those penalties.
Well, let's do briefly. For Armio, they have just 20 yards rushing on 13 carries. Perry, their leading ball carrier, 8 carries, 20 yards. Passing, Ede, 3 out of 11 for 10 yards with 1 interception. But Lewis did complete 1 for 31 yards and a touchdown on the double pass. Altogether, for the Armio Indians, 25 offensive plays, just 61 yards. For the Crushers of Vintage High School, they have 99 yards rushing on 15 carries. Leading ball carrier, James Robert, who unfortunately was ejected from the game. He had 33 yards on 5 carries. Isaiah Garcia, 24 yards on 4 carries. Each of those players scored a touchdown. O'Brien, also filling in for Robert, was sharp with 3 carries for 27 yards. Passing, Garcia, 4 out of 8, 80 yards. 2 interceptions on his last 2 passes of the half. And the penalty meter, 32 penalties called already in this game against the two teams. That's including penalties that were declined or offsetting penalties. As far as penalties that were actually marched off, the Crushers, 16 penalties, 185 yards. That's in one half of a football game, folks. for the Armijo Indians, 10 penalties for 76 yards. So 26 penalties for 261 yards, and that was in one half of a football game.
You know, I think you can count those offsetting penalties on their totals, too. That would put Vintage at 200 yards for that the one where they had each had 15 yards that were offsetting on that as far as the official way of scoring that.
Well, you know, you're probably right. I should probably count those against each team.
Yeah,
but
those were accepted. I mean, those were penalties that were called.
Yeah, they were offsetting, so I'm trying not to be too hard on them.
You're being conservative and still had that. Oh, my goodness. Well, we're just about ready to start this second half. So that is, unfortunately, the interesting statistic of that.
Well, actually, I have another stat, and this is, I've never seen anything like this in any football game that I've ever seen. Of course, I've only been watching football for 50 years. In the first half, Armijo had 5 first downs, all on penalties.
Wow.
They did not have a single first down running or throwing the ball. They had 5 first downs, all on penalties.
All right, now in college, they would have considered that pass that went to the end zone for a touchdown as a first down, even though it really wasn't. But I remember when I was at Michigan, that they used to count that that way, adding it to their totals. But I don't think they do that in high school.
I don't think they do. I don't consider it. I never give a first down on a touchdown play because you're not getting a first down out of it. You're going to kick off after you score a touchdown. So to me, that's not a first down. That's my opinion.
Well, I agree with you. They were just taking the consideration that it was the distance and it would have been.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't agree with that then, but that was something that they counted then. Hey, just a reminder that Thursday is a big game freshman style. It's the freshmen of Vintage against the freshmen of Napa here at Memorial Stadium. A 6 o'clock kickoff. We'll be broadcasting the game. 5:30 is airtime on KVON. On next Friday, the 27th of October, the Vintage Crashers will be at Will C. Wood in Vacaville, while Armijo will be back here at Napa against the Napa Indians. It'll be homecoming for Napa, and Rodriguez and Vacaville will play each other.
Ira, I do have one more thing to report from our sideline reporter, Jacob Grant. Ray Garcia, number 29 for Vintage, is out for the rest of the game with an upper body injury.
Oh, boy, not good. Well, the Crushers, who deferred receiving the opening kickoff, will be getting the kickoff coming their way here as we're starting the second half. So buckle up, settle back, relax. Here we go now with the third quarter. And it's not Calderon, but David Reyes that's teeing up the football. He's been a star out there on defense, and now he is set to kick off instead of the sophomore, Calderon. The Crushers will see what they can do returning the football. And there's the little puke-type kick, and it is fielded by Camus Barrett. And Barrett can't get any ground. He's going backwards, and he is smeared back there. They're going to rule his forward progress was out to the 28-yard line.
Well, that was a good kickoff then. It worked to their game plan. Just looked kind of a little pooch kick.
Yeah.
About 15 yards past the front line. Make the stop very quickly.
So the Vintage Crushers leading at 23-7. Get the ball on the offense here, heading to the south end zone, that north end zone behind them. Or from our vantage point, going from left to right. Over at the left side hash marks there at the 28-yard line. The Crushers still have Isaiah Garcia. He's gone all the way at quarterback. He's got Zivlovic there in the backfield with him, one of two setbacks. And he gives the ball to Zivlovic. He gets it to the 30, 31, and maybe the 32, battling there against the defenders. But Zivlovic was stopped after about 4-yard gain. Second down and 6 yards to go. We're just underway now in the third quarter of our game. Brown out to the left side. Out to the right side is Geary. Quarterback Garcia on the option. Hands off to Zivovic again, and he is stopped this time. Just ran into the middle of that line, and those linebackers came in and closed on him, as well as the big Emmett Espino, who is a 6 foot, 285-pound sophomore.
And Ira, Armio just still running that same defense. It's a four-man, 4-2, if you will.
4-2-5.
Yeah, four down linemen, two backers, and then basically a nickel defense.
Quarterback keeping the ball. Garcia's met at the line of scrimmage and brought down for no gain. That was on a, maybe he got a yard or two, but he did not get the first down. Yep. That was third down, so it's fourth down and about a yard to go. Yep.
Espino again, as you called him the play before. Emmett Espino on the stop, big number 65.
So the Crushers are going to have to punt.
Let's see if Coach Leach is going to go for it here, try to draw him off sides on a hard count.
Oh, you're right. They are showing that they're going for it. Garcia with Zivlovic, the only setback, and Zivlovic carries, and he gets the first down as he just gets to the 40. He got about 3 yards on the play. And the Crushers maintain possession of the ball. They're in their own territory, and that was on a fourth down play. And Coach Dylan Leach had enough confidence in that offensive line to think that they could push the Armio defense back far enough to get the first down, and they did. Zivlovic again is hit at the line, and no gain. He may have lost a yard. Boy, I tell you, as soon as he got that ball, he was hit.
Yeah, David Reyes, number 44. He's been coming all night from that linebacker spot.
He has been super there.
Yeah, and what he's got the countdown, so he's got the timing down where he's at the snap of the ball. He's right there. So you have to change the count up just to throw him off a little bit.
He has come in on the offense some in place of Demetrius Perry, too. So, well, you think of him as far as the defense. He's also had some time out there as an offense. And Garcia gets by one, hit by another. He's dropped for a loss. Crusher's having trouble picking up some short yardage here. That's going to bring up third down and 11 to go.
And that time Reyes came up the B gap in between the guard and the tackle. Yeah. That's right where the play call was, disrupted the play.
Make it 10 yards to go. They put the ball down at the 41-yard line. They have to get to the 49-yard line in the Armio territory. They have it at their own 41-yard line. So we'll see if Isaiah Garcia would happen to put the ball in the air. That little pop pass might be something that they could pull out of their bag of
see what he's got here.
He's got a setback, and now they're going to run the ball, and it is Jesus Galvin gets across midfield. He's got a first down, and there comes a flag. Well, that's the first flag of the second half.
Well, I didn't want to say anything, not jinx it.
I think that was a horse collar.
I think should go in Vintage's favor here. And that would be a flag that we'd want to see. I mean, that's one that legitimately should be called.
Well, Galvin did pick up the first down, and the officials are conferring.
My goodness, they take a long time, though. They have to have a convention every time there's a flag thrown.
Yeah. They're picking up the flag.
Waving it off, okay?
No penalty, they say. So,
unbelievable.
At the 49-yard line is first down for Vintage.
That seems kind of strange to me because to me, it looked like an obvious horse collar, and that's a play where someone really can get hurt.
Right.
That's the kind of thing you should be calling.
And it happened right in front of the official who threw the flag. So,
and there's
there
a
you
encroachment
go.
Coming.
Now, that's
in.
What you got to do, Ira. Just go on a hard count, second, go on two instead of one.
They were showing blitz, and we were talking about Dave Reyes and how he has been a thorn in the side of the Crusher offense. Right. He got was blitzing and just got across that line before the ball was snapped.
And what that does, that'll just slow him up a half a step where he just can't jump the count like he has been.
Yep.
I'd go on two again.
At the 44-yard line, first down, 5 yards to go for the Crushers. And he almost had him jump offside again. And on the option, he keeps the ball and drops it. There's a flag coming out. And the Crushers dropped the ball there in the attempt to advance it, and they did cover it up. I think it was probably the quarterback, Isaiah Garcia, that covered up the football.
Yeah, that was on the mesh between Peja and Isaiah. They just didn't have the mesh there.
Uh-huh.
The mesh being where, you know, where the quarterback is riding the running back.
Yeah.
And then the ball got too far apart, and there's the fumble.
Peja Zivlovic comes out of the lineup now, goes to the sideline. There is the penalty against the Vintage Chryslers on that play. I got to keep watching the official. I missed it. Oh, there's his call, holding. So the penalty goes against 10 yards for the Chryslers. They are within 5 yards now of 200 yards unofficially that we have them for. And Isaiah rolls out to his right. He's looking to pass. He's getting in trouble. He gets by one, hit by another, and by another, and he's swarmed upon now and dropped. His forward progress got him to the 48-yard line in their own territory. He needs to get to the 39-yard line in Armio territory.
If Isaiah could just look downfield a little quicker, boy, he had Zach Geary wide open early.
Vintage is leading in the ball game, 23-7. That's the score. Napa High was way behind it at the last report.
33-7 at half is the last report I have.
Vacaville was leading in that game. Vacaville won the JV game 40-30. Vintage won the JV game here over Army in a really good ball game, 13-8. Not a whole lot of penalties in that game. They had the same. This is the third game that these officials have worked tonight, too. So they could be tiring a bit. Rolling to the right, Garcia throwing on the run. It is caught by Drew Hatfield and then goes out of bounds at the 43-yard line. Considerably shy of the 39, which is what they need to get the first down.
This side judge here, Dino, that's the second time he's saying he's not out of bounds. I do not understand that call. Clock is running. I watched him tell the referee he was in bounds. He was clearly out of bounds. Clock should have stopped.
No doubt.
This side judge is horrible.
Yeah, that happened there in that end toward the end of the first half. And there's movement by the Chryslers. That'll cost them 5 yards, another penalty. That was pretty obvious there.
Demetrio Martin just couldn't hold his water from the tight end spot there. Going on two just to keep Reyes off balance, the middle linebacker for the Armio Indians.
So it's still third down, but now it's 9 yards to go for a first down. Ball is at the 48-yard line of Armio. The quarterback, Isaiah Garcia, who's a 5'10", 180-pound senior, gives the call to the offensive huddle. Now they get on the line. He's got time as he drops back to pass, and it looks. He fires it long. He's got the receiver down there, and it's deflected away from him. The defender on the play was Samuel King.
Going for Burnett.
Yeah, the intended receiver, Merrick Burnett, who is about 6'2". He's got pretty good height out there. So the Chryslers are going to punt on fourth down and 9 yards to go. 5:40 remaining in the third quarter. This quarter is moving right along.
So far.
Yeah. And
took us 20 minutes to get to that five-minute mark of the first quarter.
Abdil Belidis back in there to do the punting. High snap, but he gets it and gets the kick away. It goes inside the 25, takes a kick inside the 20, and will roll down to the 15-yard line. And at that point, the defense will come on the field for the Vintage Chryslers. Of course, Isaiah Garcia stays out there. He's playing the whole game.
Yeah, he's one of those two-way players. There's no doubt about it. Demetri Martin,
yep.
Craig, I believe.
So 33 yards on that punt by Abdil Belinas and no return. 23-7, Vintage in the lead. Vintage on the defensive side now. And the quarterback is back. Ead is back in at quarterback. Ead takes the that wasn't Ead. I thought that he would back here. That 15 and 16 look so similar out there.
Demetrius Perry on that run there.
Perry gets it across the 20, barely up to about the 21-yard line. No, that is Regalado in there at quarterback. Well, he's out. Yeah, Regalado working from the shotgun. He has Perry right beside him there as a setback to his left. He takes a snap and fakes a handoff to Perry, passes it out into the right flat. It's complete to Luke Lewis. Lewis across the 25 to the 30. He gets the first down, and then he goes down.
Did you see him duck Shomko's tackle? That was a great move by him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's done a pretty good job there. He's the one that threw that halfback pass
right
for the touchdown. So it's the junior in their quarterbacking, Juan Regalado, 6'1", 185-pounder. Out to the left will come Jordan Smith. And way right goes Samuel King. Two wides either side. And the quarterback fires, and it's overshot. It went through the hands of David Chavez. So that will make it second and 10. Inside of 4.5 minutes to go here in the third quarter. So far, not very few penalties in this third period of play, and it makes it move right along.
Army are trying to come out and just, you know, they haven't had any success, Ira, with the running game, so they're just basically faking a little quick dive and trying to hit the quick slant these last two plays.
So it's Regalado getting the snap, looking left. Firing left, and it's complete to Lewis, and Luca Lewis is driven out of bounds.
Lewis just ran a little short out pattern. Good pick up about 4 yards there.
He had Nolan Brown and Jacob Bittner over there defending against him, forcing him to the sideline. Clock keeps rolling. The quarterback takes the opportunity to go to the sideline where Anthony Gonzalez gives him the call. I ask Coach Gonzalez if he prefers Anthony or Tony. He says, no, Anthony. His preferred name, Juan over to Lewis. Lewis tries to turn the corner, and, boy, they bring him down. One of the tacklers, I just say one because there were several, was Angel Castillo.
Yeah, Castillo chased him down there, Ira. Good call.
It's going to bring up fourth down. They're back at their own 39-yard line. You'd think they would punt, but they want to get back in this game. They're trailing at 23-7.
I'd say they're going to look for a quick slant pattern again.
Yeah, they're not going to punt.
Or that little out pattern. Or he's
Regalado stays in as a quarterback. He's a pretty good passing quarterback. He looks, he fires, and it is caught for a first down as a little curl pattern is successful.
Yeah, just ran up six steps, came back two, just enough for the first down.
Yeah, Samuel King on the turnaround, and the ball was there.
Armio comes out and doubles receivers, two on each side, and then just one clears out, and the other one runs the little hitch or an out.
Regalado looking pretty good in that pocket.
He really does. He's definitely the passer. He's got a lot of zip on that ball.
Smith comes out wide to the left side. They have two wideouts on either side, and Regalado is back to pass, looking, firing down, and it's an interceptable pass, and it is intercepted by the Crusher, Galvin. Galvin across the 40, the 35, and he's driven out of bounds, and after out of bounds, he's given another big shove right in front of Jacob Grant. Jacob, you had a chance to get in on the action.
That was a close one. Yeah, I almost backed up, but I figured otherwise.
Yeah.
It was a good move.
No flags. So on that play, a 27-yard gain, and the ball is at the 31-yard line in Armio territory now. 2.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. 23-7, Vintage in the lead. Vintage gets the ball back now at the 31-yard line of Armio.
Well, Ira, we were talking about how Regalado was throwing the ball with a lot of zip, and we must have jinxed him because that ball was underthrown, but a great interception
and
return.
A,
a lot of traffic.
A lot of traffic, most of whom were the Chrysler. Chrysler's had a different quarterback in there now. And the handoff goes, and it's O'Brien inside the 10, inside the 5, still going, the 4, the 3, the 2, the 1. Touchdown for Ray O'Brien. He was not to be denied. He had two or three would-be tacklers holding on to him, and he pulled him into the end zone.
And a great downfield block by Bruno Martinez, number 52.
Yep. Bruno gets a handshake as he comes over to the sideline.
Demetrio Martin is dealing with a hurt hand.
Yeah, he's going to have to come out because the trainer came out. Rob Brandon.
Yeah. From Napa Valley Physical Therapy Center is Bruce McCall in his 44th year of helping out. Rob Brandon also helping out. Bruce usually doing the vintage games. And so this is going to be a chance for an extra point for the Chrysers, who had gone 31 yards in that one play in 11 seconds. So that was short life. No, they're going to go for a two-point conversion attempt now. And the quarterback is Troy Gisletta. Gisletta is there. And there was a whistle before the ball was snapped. And the officials indicating illegal substitution is the call against the Chrysers. So, not exactly sure what that is. So now they're going to kick the extra point, I think.
Yep. Bringing on the kicking team.
Will they have Abdil Bolinas there? And he's not the one that usually kicks the extra point. They usually have Eddie Gonzalez. They've been changing things around quite a bit. They have Gonzalez on a kickoff instead of Bolinas. And now they're going to have Bolinas with the extra point attempt instead of Gonzalez. I don't remember Gonzalez having missed an extra point. And it'll be from the hold of Isaiah Garcia, showing a blitz there to try to get in there to block it. Gets the kick away, though. The extra point is good, and the Chrysers add to their lead. So with Memorial Stadium, third quarter score is the Vintage Chrysers of Napa 30 and the Army Indians of Fairfield 7. Okay, here we come now as the Chrysers get set to kick off.
And Ira, just a quick update from Vacaville. It is now 40-7, Vacaville over Napa with 1 minute to go in the third quarter.
Wow. Yeah, they're about the same place that we are time-wise.
Right.
It's amazing. I thought we'd be way behind the time to go there at Vacaville, particularly since they had three games here. And that's another consideration on these officials. This is the third straight game they have officiated. Mm-hmm. They did the freshman game, the JV game, and now they're doing the varsity game. Here's Bolinas with the kick. Boy, that's a dandy. Sailing way back here inside the five, taken at the two-yard line. Brought back out by Chavez. He goes to the right. He's at the 20, 25, 30. Chavez is pushed out of bounds by Zivlovic as he got out close to the 30-yard line.
Found a little lane on the outside. You got to stay in your lanes when on the kickoff coverage team. Stay in your lanes, stay in your lanes.
When you were coaching, I know you worked with wide receivers and all. Did you work with any other aspect of the game?
Mainly just the receivers, and work a little bit with quarterbacks as far as you know, what the receivers are doing and so forth. And then I was in charge of personnel substitutions with Coach Franco and making sure everybody, if one of your players went down, to make sure you get a replacement for that one who's on the special teams.
Okay, they're coming out here with still one Regalado, and the handoff, and there was an opening out to the 45, the 50, and into the Vintage territory. At the 45-yard line goes Demetrius Perry with a good run for the junior.
Yeah, he made a nice little cutback, and he was off to the races. Nolan Brown, one of the Vintage Crushers on the tackle there.
Keep in mind that Armio does not have much depth.
They do not.
And that is one of the things the Crusher has been trying to work on, is wearing down the Armio Indians.
One of their players, Jordan Smith, going off right now, a little hobbling.
Perry got 24 yards on that last carry as he's in the backfield. Regalado hands off to him again. He tries to go to the outside. He slips away from one but be tackler and met by three or four others, including Semko.
Yeah, Zach Daniels had him from behind.
And then let him slip away.
Held up and just, he slipped away. Perry's a strong runner.
Yeah. So that's going to bring up second down and 10. They mark the ball right there where the earlier play had originated. 30-7. Vintage has increased its lead here in the third quarter. Looking at Juan Regalado, or the passing quarterback, Regalado set from the shotgun, gets the snap, rolls out to the right, and his pass a little underthrown. He had some defenders over there, so he had to put the ball down low, and it was down too low. It didn't have a chance for the receiver to get to it.
Right, Armio's passing game right now is trying to hit the little five-yard hitch or out. They'll clear out a receiver deep and then try to hit the underneath guy.
Vintage last week had a shutout, 48-0 with Rodriguez. They were trying to get consecutive shutouts, but Armio had that pass play, the halfback pass into the end zone for their touchdown. But now they want to hold at the defense, the whole Armio with no more than that one touchdown. Well, they have a spread offense now, and the quarterback to pass again down the middle, and it is intercepted by the Crusher to the 25-yard line. Shemko comes up to the 40, the midfield, down the sideline, the 40, the 30. He's got one man to beat, the 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, looking around for a flag.
Actually, the issue, Ira, is he was lying on the ground when he intercepted the ball, so it's a dead ball back at the 25-yard line, and one of the officials was back there marking the spot.
I'm not sure, Dino, because Garcia is the one that you're talking about, but the ball bounced up out of Garcia into Shemko's hands.
Yeah, Shemko, I don't think, was the one that was down on the ground.
Originally, it was Garcia going for the interception.
There comes a flag.
It was Garcia who actually went for the interception. The ball bounced off of him right into Shemko's hands.
Oh, I didn't see that. Yep. I thought it looked to me like the prone player was the one who intercepted.
Right.
So my bad.
Max Craig is down.
Oh,
Max Craig, that's a big loss right there.
Has done tonight. He has been outstanding.
Max Craig is a stud.
Yeah.
It's a big loss if he's hurt for...
He's the 5'10", 270-pounder that's been at right guard most of the... You know, we should mention, too, some of the others that are out there. You know, we talked about Zach Daniels being back. They've had Nealon... Mosqueda has been out there just checking some of the others. Jack O'Dell, the sophomore. What a job Jack O'Dell and the Vintage Farm people did. I know Jack spent a lot of time there at the Vintage Farm, and he is a sophomore on the varsity and put a lot of hours in over the time of the wildfires and all.
Yep.
And the Vintage Farm is to be commended. Great job of housing
Absolutely.
All kinds of animals.
Absolutely.
They had llamas. They had alpacas there. And just
another example of the community coming together, Ira.
Oh, you see it all over the place.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
Neighbors helping neighbors.
Yep, absolutely.
While we do feel so saddened by those that lost their homes, why we're now in a phase of recovery, rebuilding in some cases.
Absolutely. Jake, I don't know if you saw what happened to Max Craig down there or not.
But he's being helped off the field.
They were flexing out his left ankle.
I don't know, during the play, did you see him get hit clean, cheap shot, or anything like that?
It just looked like he got a bad ankle twist because he was blocking for Shankle.
Got it.
Yeah. So there was a flag toss, but I don't see any indication now whether he just picked it up or what. The referee went over to the sideline and talked to the coach, but a 75-yard touchdown play for the
credit. Here's the call, Ira.
Here comes the call. Personal foul against the defense. And
I think they'll penalize it on the kickoff.
We'll see, yeah. So it's going to be an extra point attempted by Eddie Gonzalez this time. Last time it was Abdiel Bolinas. Now it's Eddie Gonzalez, who normally kicks the extra point, and Bolinas normally kicks off. and does the punting. So the Crusher is getting set there at the line to try this extra point. We're still in the third quarter. And the ball is snapped, placed down. The kick on the way and good. So there's timeout here at Memorial Stadium in Napa, California, with just over, 3 minutes to go, or is the 30 seconds to go in the third quarter, as the score now is Vintage 37 and Army 07. And back at Memorial Stadium, where we say that, Mark, you were a winner, too, when it came to that fire area as you had your home saved. So then that was in the Silverado area where a lot of homes were destroyed. Well, the penalty, the 15-yarder, is marked off against the Army O Indians on the kickoff, so we will add those to the totals. One, very few penalties here in the third quarter.
Yeah, so far we've been lucky with that, and that first half was disastrous as far as penalties go.
Bolinas with the kick, and that'll go way into the, they're not even going to take a look at that. It's just way into the back of the end zone area. So when you give him 15 yards extra there, he could put it in the end zone without those 15 yards. And so they'll come out to the 20-yard line where the Army O Indians will see if they can get that back. They have 30.5 seconds to go here in the third quarter.
Let's see if Army O is going to come out and keep throwing that little short passing game, or if they're going to go back and hand the ball off to Demetrius Perry here.
Uh-huh. Well, the Crusher defense shifting around, trying to count those out there. Or is it 10, 11? Yep, all set. They hand off in the backfield, looking for a running room and finding very little space. Demetrius Perry then is down at the 21-yard line. Maybe I've gotten a yard there. Right. That'll probably be the final play of the third quarter.
Yeah, Shopko and Galvin there on the tackle. Shopko getting there first and Galvin coming in and cleaning up. Perry's kind of hard to bring down there, Ira. He's stocky. He's got a good build, and he's got a lot of good speed, real thick thighs.
And that is the end of the third quarter. So we'll be back with the we'll keep it right here, because some of you may have joined us a little late, and we'll kind of review the scoring. Vintage started out with 4:46 to go in the first quarter when the quarterback, Garcia, took it over from a 1 yard out, and then Shamko ran it in for a 2-point conversion, making it 8-0. Then, just a little over 2 minutes and 20 seconds later, it was James Robert on a 21 yard run. Shamko ran it in for a 2-point conversion, making it 16-0. Then, in the second quarter, with 5:31 remaining, it was Shidez with the punt return. Gonzalez's kick was good, and it was 23-0. Still in the second quarter when Armio got their score with 40 seconds to go till halftime, when Smith scored in the end zone on a pass from Lewis. Calderon's kick was good, making it 23-7. Then the Crushers in that third quarter scored twice. With 2:16 to go, O'Brien on a 31-yard run. Bolinas' kick made it 30-7, and then with 30 seconds to go, Shamko got the interception, went 75 yards, and the kick by Bolinas makes it where we are now at 37-7. And we get ready to start the fourth quarter. It's second down and 8 yards to go for Army O. They're heading toward that south end zone from our left to our right. And they have a double wide coming out to the right, double wide going out to the left, a single setback, and that's Demetrius Perry, back by the quarterback. And they hand off to Perry. Perry changes directions, and he is met and brought down by Colton Fisher, 6'4", 265-pounder.
Colton Fisher, I tell you, Ira, I've just been really impressed with Max Craig, Colton Fisher, and Zach Daniels, those front three, and I know they bring in other players as well. Right now, Demetro Martin's coming in on that front.
Well, Rigolato stays in at quarterback on this third down play. Third down and a long six to go. Now, the Chargers, of course, expecting the pass. Rigolato has done a good job of passing the ball as he takes the snap. He drops back, looks, fires it over to the right side, and it's intercepted by Garcia down the sideline, the 30, the 20, 15, 10, 5. End zone! Touchdown, Chargers! Garcia on the interception and goes 42 yards, takes it into the end zone for the score. And
just that ball, was he was under pressure, and the ball was up in the air a long time, and Garcia came over from center field and was able to pick that off. And what a great run back, Ira.
Yeah, I think after this extra point and all that, we will use a running clock now as we're just underway in the fourth quarter. But Vintage has gone ahead 43-7, and an extra point try by Eddie Gonzalez, who has come out there for Vintage to attempt the extra point. There is the snap and the placement, and the kick is on the way, and it is good. So Gonzalez does it again, and we could see that running clock now. Right now it shows 11 minutes and 2 seconds to go, and we'll be back with the Crusher kickoff in a moment, leading it 44-7. So the Crushers get ready to kick off, and Kent Fry, is this football weather?
It's great football weather. It's nice and cold and crisp. It's chilly up here in the booth, and I'm sure the players aren't...
And good clean air.
Good clean air is right,
yeah. We appreciate that.
I think the coaches might be still a little hot under the collar for the first half.
Bolinas' kick goes back to the 5-yard line. It is dropped by Chavez, picks it up, goes to the left, and there at the 15, he is hit and driven back. Look at all of the Crushers that come in on him, one of whom was Jacob Bentner, but there were many others.
Yeah, well,
one of them is down.
Ray O'Brien was there. There was a host of them.
Okay. Well, we'll go down to Jacob Grant there. He'll probably see which one is down and see if he had a chance to. He was down close to where that action was.
I didn't catch you just who's hurt. I'm going to find out their number for you.
Okay. Yeah, well, hopefully not too bad. But they really joined in. I noticed that on the sideline, Dylan Leach is much more calm here in this second half than he was in that first half.
Well, you know, here's the problem with that first half, Ira. The refs took the game out of both coaches. So both coaches all of a sudden are having to deal with the refs instead of the strategy of the game and the play calling and talking with the kids and actually doing some coaching. And that's frustrating for head coaches because now, you know, the distraction from that, and then they can't pay attention to the kids. And so, Ray O'Brien down there, he's back on his feet now, Ira.
Looks like he's going to be okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it's very frustrating for coaches not to, you know, coach, you know, both coaches are going through the exact same emotions. So this is a tough one, and I'm sure Coach Dillon's not going to want to see these guys back here anytime soon, these guys being the officials.
So the ball at the 18-yard line in their own territory as the Armijo Indians take possession. Single setback, Perry, just to the right of the quarterback, and they hand off to Perry. Boy, he gets by one and is hit by another. Oh, they had so many guys converge on him after he was slowed down there coming out of the backfield. And several guys, including Angel Castillo, brought him down.
Yeah, Perry's a tough kid. I like that kid. He's, you know, and that's what Armijo needs to do. They just need to keep running the ball. The last three times they've tried to throw, it's been picked for six. So,
yeah, we'll watch the clock, see if it is a running clock now.
Yeah, it has been.
Yeah. So even if they have an incomplete pass, the clock keeps running here. The handoff goes to Perry again, and he is stopped after a short gain. They have to get out to the 28-yard line for a first down, and they have the ball about halfway there. So it's going to bring up third down, or maybe just four to go, third, four or five.
And that time it was Ernie Seha on the stop.
Yeah, Perry's going over to the sideline. He's coming out of there now.
I think he's just a little cramping up, a little dehydrated, needs to get some water in him.
Well, Reyes is in that backfield. Reyes has done the big job on defense tonight. Yep. He's been
plays a good middle backer, Ira.
He's
a good quarterback back there at the as far as middle backer.
So he is the running back there beside the quarterback. Regalado takes the ball. And no, that's not Regalado this time. It's Eads back in there. And Eads takes it close to a first down. He tried to lunge for that extra yardage. So they slipped Eads back into that backfield as the quarterback.
Basically taking a play out of Vintage's playback playbook with a kind of a zone option read there. Riding Reyes and then pulling the ball back out. And
I know the clock is not moving.
It's moving now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did get a first down on that play. So back at quarterback, Tyreek Eade takes a snap and hands off. They go to the left side with Chavez carrying, and he turns the corner and forced out of bounds. Barrett, one of those over there that forced him to the sideline. Going to bring up second down and 5 yards to go. Pick up a 5 on the play. Even though he went out of bounds, the clock keeps running as the lead is by 35 or more points in the fourth quarter from their own 34-yard line. Second down for the Armio Indians. Armio will be back here next week against Napa High, and it'll be homecoming for the Napa High Indians. The Napa Indians and the Armio Indians. And Eat hands it off once again to Chavez, and he tries to turn the corner. He's not going to make it. He got back to the line of scrimmage and then tried to dive forward, maybe got a yard on that dive, but he was being tackled at the time. So they're probably going to go 4 downs here with the football. They're 3rd down now, so even if they don't get it, they probably will go for it, even though they're back in their own territory. With 7.5 minutes to go, they want to put some points on the board.
And, Ira, we have a final from Vacaville. Final score, Vacaville 40, Napa High 10. 40-10, Vacaville over Napa.
Okay. The quarterback is going to be sacked, I think. They're having trouble bringing him down.
Yeah, that was a low snap, Ira. I know you were jotting that score down. It was a low snap, and he did a really good job just getting that ball back under control.
All right. So Vacaville remains unbeaten in the league. Napa still without a win in the league, but they'll be going against Armio next Friday night. Vintage will be going against Wilsey Wood. They'll be battling for first place in the league. Both teams will be 2-0 in league play going into that game, providing the Crushers hold on here with 6.5 minutes to go and a comfortable 44-7 lead. So they are going to punt. The sophomore Calderon gets the kick away, and it goes past the Crushers as Camus Barrett. I think he would have fielded it if he got a little closer to it. It came pretty close to
him. Well, he just needs to find that ball. He needs to make that catch, Ira, because they just lost another 10 yards on that. So, yeah, Camus Barrett needs to come up and make that catch.
So the clock keeps rolling. Running clock here. On that punt, it went 49 yards with no return. So the Crushers will send the offense there. We'll see some changes in that offense, I would imagine. Well, you look over to the Armio sideline, you see very few players. Look at the Vintage sideline and multitude.
There's
a depth.
And Armio,
but I think that Anthony Gonzalez, the first-year coach, has done a heck of a job there.
Yeah, you know, and Armio's got to come back here next week, Ira, and face the Napa High Indians, as you were talking about. So,
yep.
Coach Gonzalez has got to, you know, regroup and get his troops back together. He's got some key players there that do very well.
Gisletta is in there at quarterback. He did a good job the other day against Rodriguez. Oops, on the option, there was nobody there. So he pitches it back, and they get a short gain, and was to Jesus Galvin.
Yeah, that's...
No, check
He was riding the imaginary fullback there, Ira.
That was
he's called
Ernie,
it. No one was there.
That was Ernie Seha. Seha did a nice job last time, too. Oh, back into the lineup, Ronnie Porter. He'll be out there and making a few changes, but keeping Troy Gisletta as the quarterback. He's a junior, about 5'9", about 150 pounds. 5 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter, 44-7. Vintage in the lead. Gisletta with the snap and the handoff as they go right side to swing out. And Zivlovic, as he tried to cut in, just stopped for a short gain, not too much of a gain.
You know, you got to like Peja how do you say that, Ira?
Zivlovic.
Zivlovic and Ray O'Brien, you know, stepping in for Roberts.
Yeah.
They both run very hard, and next week they're both going to be called on to run hard. Yeah. As Vintage will be without Roberts next week.
Yeah. As he was ejected from the game and will have to miss the next game. As will one of the players, Jesse Mercado, for Armio. They try to flow to the left, but nothing opened up there as Gisletta. I don't know if he was looking for somebody to hand it off to.
He was running the option, and Reyes just chased him down, basically.
Yeah. So
Reyes being the middle linebacker from Armio, David Reyes, number 44.
Well, Gisletta started to come off the field. Now he goes back on there because they're going to be punting. And Bolinas is going to be standing back inside of his 5-yard line. So Army is going to come out of this in pretty good field position. They have Chavez back near midfield to receive the punt. Jacob Bittner also coming out onto the field. So set for Abdiel Bolinas on the punt. They're taking as much time off the clock as they can.
They just couldn't get the personnel on the field.
Yeah,
special team. Well, Bittner came on very, very late.
Yeah,
it's like some new players out there not knowing where to line up.
Well, they got a delay of game, and that does stop the clock here. So now it started again. As Bolinas now is back in his own end zone, gets the snap. Nearly got it blocked, but gets a nice punt away. It will bound at the 40. Takes a reverse bounce back to the 35-yard line, where it's grabbed by Jacob Bittner. And good field position now for Armio, but less than 3 minutes to go and a running clock, and they trail 44-7. So that punt took a reverse kick and wound up just being 25 yards. With Crusher's making several changes now. Ronnie Porter in there on defense. Manny Alvera is out there again. Number 18. Did not have him on our original roster. The handoff goes to Perry, swings out, cuts in, gets inside the 30, tackled at the 25 and brought down there. Clock continuing to move into just over 2 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter.
Looked like Justin Ellis on that tackle. That was a nice tackle. Perry was off to the races there.
He's got some speed and some power, too, as we have seen. Their center is Sahil Singh, who is 300-pounder. He's 5'11", 300-pound senior there. And snaps the ball, and they hand off to Perry.
Perry.
Yeah, that's Perry again. Down all the way down to the 5-yard line. He just went through the middle. And, of course, the Crushers have different players in there. Hurtado came over to help stop the run, but it gets down to the 5-yard line.
I just give it to Perry again. And this is where, you know, this is second stringers, guys.
Second and third stringers.
Yeah, this is where you're getting your playing time. You got to be able to get out there and stop these guys.
Yeah. You've got Perry in the backfield. They hand off to Perry again. He starts to the outside. They grab him and bring him down for a loss. Crusher's converge there. And about three of the guys in on the tackle, including Bittner.
Going to give Armio time for about one more play here, try to get it in. They're playing for pride here, Ira. They want to put the ball in the end zone.
Inside of 1 minute to go now with a running clock. The ball is spotted back at the 6-yard line. Second down and goal to go. But the clock is a factor. They could stop it with a timeout. They have all three of their timeouts remaining. As the snap, the quarterback looks in the end zone. His pass incomplete. the defender on the play, Dane Contreras, made certain that he threw his hands up in the air like, I didn't touch him, didn't touch him.
They're going to have to hurry to get this last playoff.
Yeah, they got 25 seconds to do so. The quarterback is their junior, Regalado. No? No, check it. It's back into Eid. It's back in now. They've been shifting them back and forth. No, it's Regalado. But anyway, they power their way into the end zone with 6 seconds to go and get the touchdown.
Perry on the carry.
That was Perry. Just followed his blockers, and that's what you're supposed to do. And the blockers were able to push that Kreischer line back there to the edge of the end zone and into the end zone for the touchdown. So Perry gets the score. Jordan Smith had scored the other one on a halfback pass. Now they're lining up to go for two. And they get two as they hand the ball to Perry. They had Regalado staying in at quarterback, and he just handed off to Perry. And he went into the end zone without a problem. That'll be the final play, and that's going to wrap it up at a Kreischer victory. So the game that had that unusual first half, that's one way to describe it, ends up with a Kreischer victory as they go to 6-1. They are 2-0 in the league. Armio falls to 3-4. They are 0-2 in the league. And we'll be back with our wrap-up. The final score, the Vintage Kreischers of Napa 44 and the Armio Indians of Fairfield 15. Well, along with Kent Fry and Jacob Grant and Dino Alessio, this is Ira C. Smith back here as Jacob's making his way over now. This is a good time, Jacob. Just move in there and see if you can grab the coach. Let's go down onto the field now for sideline reporter Jacob Grant.
With James Robert being ejected from today's game and being suspended for next week, do you have an idea of who might fill in for him next Friday?
Yeah, well, first we'll have to petition that. I mean, it was they got him for coming on the field after the play, but he's on PAT. He should be allowed to come on the field. So all they said was that he ran on the field after a touchdown and celebrated, but he's on the next play. So, I mean, why can't he run on the field and be on the PAT? So we'll petition that and see what happens. Hey, listen, it's not just him. We lost Ray Garcia. We lost Ray O'Brien, Max Craig, Meech. So, I mean, hey, we lost 6-7 guys, but what do you do? Next guy steps up, and let's go play Wood.
With the wildfires last week and the short time of practice this week, how do you think your team rallied and played today that impacts their future?
Yeah, I mean, hey, I'm not impressed with what we did tonight. I'm not happy about the situation. I thought, I honestly, and I know those guys up in the booth have been through a lot of football games. I've never seen, what time is it, 11?
I have no idea. What are we
it's
doing?
10:20.
Right, what are we even doing here? I mean, we've had two personal fouls all year, and tonight we had eight. So, I mean, I'm not sure where these guys, where this all happened, but we got some work to do.
Hey, Jake, can you ask Coach Dylan Leach what he thinks about Max Craig and Colton Fisher and Zach Daniels, that front three he's got?
Kent wants to know about the front three you've got up front in the defensive line.
Yeah, hey, they play really well. I mean, they're tough kids, and we actually rotate seven guys within those front three linemen. So, and all of them play extremely tough, and they're strong kids, and they've bought into the techniques that we're teaching them. So I'm really impressed with the way those guys have played.
I'm not even going to ask about officiating, so thank you.
Okay, well, interesting comments, and certainly – that he's going to appeal that
absolutely, and he has every right to, you know. And this is where these officials were at tonight, guys. In the first half, they were. I'm just going to say they were horrible. And Dino, I don't know. Dino has enough paper over there for all those stats on penalties and so forth. But you know, he's frustrated. He being Coach Dylan Leach, he's very frustrated. As is the Armio coach, and they both have every right to be frustrated. These refs, just officials, they took it right out in that first half, Ira. They took the game away from the kids, and it just became a nightmare. I mean, even in the second half, coaches are kind of looking and, you know, having to police and so forth, and just it's just not right what happened.
Well, it was, I thought, a particularly impressive performance tonight by the quarterback for Vintage, Isaiah Garcia, that he was taking some really tough hits out there and it would just rebound right back and very resilient.
And he's a tough kid. And he, you know what? He delivered some tough hits, too. I know on one of the interceptions and that he had and then on some of the runs he had. He actually delivers a hit when he's getting tackled. He's doing it himself.
Okay, before we go to select our players of the game, though, let's go to Dino Alessio. Very interesting statistics, as we usually find at the end of a broadcast.
So let's look first at the numbers for the visitors, the Armijo Indians. Their leading ball carrier was Perry, who ran, picked up some tough yards, ended up 19 rushes, 94 yards, one touchdown. Nobody else carried the ball very much for Armijo. Ede had 5 carries for 8 yards. Altogether, Armijo runners carried 29 times and picked up 104 net yards rushing. Passing, Armijo had 3 different players who attempted passes. Ede completed 3 of 12 for 10 yards with 1 intercepted. Rigolato completed 3 of 8 for 23 yards and had 3 intercepted. And Lewis on the halfback pass connected for 31 yards. Altogether, 64 yards rushing, 64 yards on passing plays, 104 yards rushing, 168 total yards for Armijo on 50 plays. That's 3.4 yards per play. For the Vintage Crushers, the leading ball carrier was James Robert with 43 yards on 5 carries. O'Brien actually had 58 yards on 4 carries because he had the 31-yard touchdown run towards the end. Gizleta had 1 carry for no gain. Seha, 1 carry for no gain. Zivlovic, 6 carries, 19 yards. Hatfield, 1 carry, 8 yards. Carter, 1 carry for 16 yards. Galvin, 1 carry for 11 yards. Altogether, 27 rushing attempts, 177 net yards. Passing, Isaiah Garcia was 5 out of 10 for 90 yards. Did have 2 intercepted. Altogether for Vintage, 37 offensive plays, 267 yards. That's about 7.5 yards per play. The team numbers for Armijo, they ended up with 11 first downs, 4 rushing, 2 passing, 5 on penalties. Speaking of penalties, they were penalized 13 times for 101 yards. For the Vintage Crushers, they had 8 first downs rushing, 2 passing, 2 on penalties for a total of 12 first downs, and the Crushers had 20 penalties for 205 yards. So the two teams combined for 32 penalties for 306 yards in penalty yardage. Altogether, there were 37 penalty flags thrown in the game. The Armijo had 5 interceptions. They also fumbled 3 times, but did not lose any of those 3 fumbles. Vintage had 2 interceptions and 2 fumbles, which they did not lose. So a total of 7 turnovers in the game and 37 penalties, and not really an artistic masterpiece, guys.
Okay, that's one way of putting it. How was it down on the sideline, our sideline reporter? What did that look like that first half?
It was everybody. I mean, even the guys you wouldn't think would have an opinion on it, like the newspaper guys and medical staff, they were all outlandishly frustrated with the amount of penalties that were getting called. The players were upset. I mean, I don't know if you guys could hear it, but there was a lot of refs, you suck, coming from the crowd and unanimous chants. So, you know, it was definitely the common opinion that there was too many penalties called.
Okay, well, let's just sort through this and see if we can single out some people that we'd like to acknowledge as our choice as players of the game. Let's look at the roster for the Armijo Indians. And since, Jacob, you were down on the field, see if you have a preference first.
The running back, Perry. I mean, when they handed him the ball, he had good vision. He saw the holes, and he saw these good places where he could cut, where his guys were throwing him good blocks. So he was impressive.
Gent?
I like Perry as well, but I'm going to go with David Reyes. I just like the way he plays and his strong leadership on the defense. Uh-huh. Good, strong middle backer.
Well, he was strong on defense, yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah, and he can come in and relieve Perry as far as that fullback spot. So I'll go with David Reyes.
Yeah, he didn't get much on the offense because of Reyes and because of his work. He was on the field a lot with the defense, that's for sure. It's a good choice there. Dino?
I liked Chavez's performance. He had just 7 yards rushing, but he also had almost 90 yards in kickoff returns. He also caught a pass. I thought he played a good all-around game.
Well, since you guys are going that way, I will. I was thinking of Perry, but I'll go for the guy that passed that halfback pass into the end zone because he was out there as a linebacker and a running back, and he helped set up those plays with his blocking. Luca Lewis, he's only 5'9", and I thought from his slot back position he was able to get over there and make some key blocks that would help Demetrius Perry get open. So we spread it around pretty good on that.
Absolutely. It's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah. Well, we can do whatever you want to do. That's it. It's your choice. So now we'll take the choices for the Vintage Crushers as we go first to Dino.
For the Vintage Crushers, I am going to go with Isaiah Garcia. He had completed 5 out of 10 for 90 yards. He did have 2 intercepted, but one of those was sort of a desperation toss on the last play of the first half. Both shouldn't count. And he also ran an interception back 42 yards for a touchdown. And he ran for 22 tough yards on 7 carries, scored a touchdown running. So he scored a touchdown both on offense and on defense. So I like Isaiah Garcia.
Okay, Kent?
Well, I'm going to go out of the norm here. Ira, I'm going with 3 of them. I tell you, I'm just so impressed with Max Craig, Colton Fisher, and Zach Daniels.
Well, that's almost as one because yeah, the way they are, that was a unit tonight.
That's the starting front three, and then you throw in Demetrio Martin in there, and as Coach Leach said, there's like 7 of them, and they rotate in. But those three, Daniels, Craig, and Fisher,
Craig's all right.
Yeah, they are legitimately. Tonight you could see where their individual efforts were far and above everybody else, and they just do a great job. So I'll go with those three, the front three, defensive front.
Okay, well, let's find out as we check with Jacob before we find out about his choice, about what he heard at least about Max Craig and maybe Bruno, too, as far as a couple injuries.
So Craig, when he went down, they were looking at his left ankle initially, but then when they moved into the bench over on the left corner, they were icing and wrapping his knee and his ankle, so it seemed like they thought maybe his ankle was like a cramp or something because they were rolling it like they were trying to stretch it out. But they said that he would walk it off and be back by next week. So, good news.
And then what about Bruno?
I didn't hear much about Bruno. Actually, I don't remember seeing him go down. So,
okay. All right. Well, now your choice as far as the vintage player.
I would have gone Craig, because he was good offense on the offensive line and defensively. He was making some good stops. But Shamkel, I felt like he played well when they put him in at running back, and he played really well on defense. And I mean, that interception could have been a touchdown if he hadn't caught it on his knees. So, he was showing some good ball carrier ideology.
Well, I was thinking of going with Shopko because he was out there on defense most of the whole game and got very few times as far as snaps on the offense, and he made the most of his playing time tonight.
Well, Shopko's a great pick.
Yeah, that's what I was going to go with. But since you picked him, I'm going to go with somebody that doesn't get in much of the action, but his coming through on nice occasions, again, not a whole lot of action, but when he was in there, he made the most of it, and that was Jesus Galvin. He not a busy player as far as a lot of playing time, and I thought Merrick Burnett did a pretty fair job too for somebody that doesn't get a lot of playing time. And we had Jacob Bittner. These are guys that are not in there a lot of the time. Angel Castillo had a good game, and just some of those guys. Brown, Nolan Brown had his best game of the season, but. But I'm going to go with Shemko too because I like the way he ran that one back. I like his defense. I think that's good. And when he's in there on offense, he's usually used as a blocker and does a nice job. So,
well, Ira, the positive tonight is that, you know, as atrocious as the first half was for both teams, the positive is for Vintage is that, you know, you get a victory tonight. You have a victory, and, you have a tough road trip next week over to Wood, and with the season being shortened, Vacaville beating Napa tonight in a big way, it's looking like it could be possibly a Vintage and Vacaville showdown, although they're not going to play each other.
Nope.
So a lot depends. These next 2 weeks are big for Vintage. On the road against Wood, and then the big game against Napa. Two tough tests for Coach Dylan Leach and the Crushers. So they need to regroup very quickly and take away all the positive from this game. Their running game executed very well. Their quarterback is playing extremely well. Their defense is coming together. So there's a lot of positives to take away from this game and lead right into that next week against Wood on the road and to the big game.
And, Dino, do you have a special stat of the game?
306 yards in penalties. I've never seen anything like that in my life.
Well, we knew the record was going to be broken, didn't we?
Yeah. And amazingly, too, the fact that the Crushers in the entire game only had 37 offensive plays. Armio actually had 50 offensive plays to just 37 for the Crushers. But the Crushers' average play was 7.5-yard gain. That's usually going to be successful.
Okay, well, Jacob Grant, we wish you the best as you go back to Napa Valley College on Monday.
Yep, and, I'm looking forward to that, but I'm definitely looking forward to coming back here on Friday a heck of a lot more.
Yep. Well, we'll be back here on Thursday as we broadcast freshman football. It's the Vintage Crushers and Napa Indians. 6 o'clock kickoff will be on the air at 5:30 on Thursday evening. That's October 26th. And then the next night we'll be on for Napa High Homecoming as the Napa Indians are hosting Armio. But we'll keep you right up to the minute on what's happening with Vacaville at Wilsey Wood, a very important game that'll be played over there at the Tom Zanino Stadium. Even though Wilsey Wood is getting a new stadium, it's not quite ready yet, so might be ready next year, from what I understand. But anyway, they're still at Tom Zanino Stadium. And then Rodriguez plays Vacaville next week. So Vacaville should have no problem with that, as they should go 3-0 in the league, and they'd have Wood left. And Vintage needs to keep pace with that. If they tie for MEL championship, well, they're both assured of getting into the playoffs.
Yeah, that's the big test, Ira. Vintage controls its own destiny. For sure, Vacaville looks like they will win the league or tie. But, you know, they have their crosstown rival Wood as well, Ira. There's still a lot for this league to be shaken out and how it's going to end up. And Dino was saying earlier tonight, it could be a big logjam at the end of the season. And in 2 weeks, we will know.
Well, we know that there were three games here at Memorial Stadium today. In the first game, it was the Vintage freshman taking on the Wilsey Wood freshman, and Vintage improved to 8-0 with a 36-20 victory in the freshman game. In the JV game, that was the best game of the three, as it was close all the way and back and forth. Both teams looked really good, and Vintage wound up winning 13-8 the final there as they go to 4-1-1, and the Then the varsity, we just finished broadcasting. Napa, the JVs lost their game 40-30, the final there in Vacaville. And Vacaville's varsity defeated Napa by 40-10. So the tens were the significant there, and all of them divisible by 10. So, Ken, any final comments as we're wrapping it up here from what was an interesting first half?
Well, Ira, it's just great to be back and have what normally would be Friday night football. In this case, it's Saturday night football. But it's great to get back on the field and have high school football going back. And the next 2 weeks are going to be fun and exciting, especially for both teams. Well, for all the teams in the league, it's going to be great.
Yep, and we'll keep you posted on the vintage results at We'll See Wood next week. So our thanks to our color commentator with Kent Fried, to our sideline reporting with Jacob Grant, to our statistic keeping with Dino Alessio, and to our engineer back at the KVON studio, Charles Kennedy. It's all been sent your way with the good wishes of our Napa Valley Sports Boosters. I'm Ira C. Smith, reminding you the final from Memorial Stadium in MEL football action, the Vintage Crushers of Napa 44, the Army O Indians of Fairfield 15. This has been a KVON Sports presentation.